Hi, welcome to Super Podcast. I'm your host, Super Marcy, and because I don't do these alone, I have a guest with me today.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So, I'm here with somebody special, I hope. Let's see, that didn't sound right. Well, I'm joined with my guest for the show, who spoken to for quite a while this year. And I'd say we're
a little while now.
We're big fans of each other's work. Well, I should hope you're a fan of my work anyway.
Yes, and you're making me blush.
I'm here with none other than J.A. Hamilton from Dribblo.com.
Yay, Joblo.com.
Yes. Can't stay away.
A little promotional.
Yeah, I can't
stay away.
That was
a little promotional yay for Burge's... I say Burge, and I mean, I know everyone has no fucking idea what I'm talking about when I say Burge, but that's Joblo's real name.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird from when I talk to him to call him Joblo.
Yeah, Joe, go blow.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird, because like, I'd say to people that, oh yeah, I work for Joblo, or I was talking to Joblo, they're like, what the fuck is a Joblo? And I'm like, is that like, and it's funny, because he made a Requiem for Nachos thing about, like, because his whole website sounds like porn. So that's what people would think for the longest time, that I was working for a porn site.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guys, I don't work for a porn site. Didn't you say it's called Joe Blow or Blow Joe or Blow Job? I'm like, no. JoeBlow.com.
It's
movies and not those kind of movies. Yeah. Please don't type that in and expect to see my picture there. This is not going to happen.
No, when I say I go to this website and people going, what the hell are you visiting? I know you're into some weird stuff, but... Marcy, what are you doing?
I mean,
like, it's a movie website.
And I can I understand where the actual name, like, that was actually a big expression probably back when it actually started. Like, people would say, you know, Joe Blow, whoever, right? So, I mean, but now these days, I don't think people use that expression anymore. So when you tell them, they're a little bit shocked at first.
Yeah, but, well, obviously, that's where I know you from, because I'm, like, the website's big stalker. Not really. No, I just like the site, and I like putting my opinions on the site because it's very opinionated and it's a lot of fun.
Well, at least your opinions are good opinions. I mean, they're not just
those
opinions.
They're the best opinions.
Well, that's what I was going to say best, but, you know, I didn't want to sound like I was sucking up too much, right?
So. You can suck up all you like. Doesn't bother me.
Nice. Well, speaking of which, I was going to say, just because the first thing everyone hears is your cool-ass tunes... I'm a big fan. That's one thing I miss. I miss those 80s, 90s, you know, those great tunes that they used to play at the beginning of the movie. Or, like, there'd be, like, a dramatic part, and the person be all, like, serious, and they'd be like, oh, fuck. And, like, you'd hear it kick in, and it'd be, like, kick in for, like, 10 minutes.
Or, like, the awesome, especially in, like, the action sport movies, like, the big... training, getting ready for the big fight.
Oh, yeah,
they've got
exactly.
That power song.
That's
on.
What half these things... Half them come from martial arts movies. My favorite one's from Kickboxer. Like, when after, like, the whole thing happens and they go to, like, they go to Taiwan or whatever, and it all, like, kicks in. Like, standing alone, I'm holding my own. I'm, like, I'm sitting there and I'm shaking my head and I'm singing the whole thing and, like, screaming it. It looks really ridiculous if you walk in and watch the movie, but I still sing that shit when I watch the movie.
No, my favorite bit in the movie, and I like to dance to it, is when he's in the bar, drunk. That's the best. And he kicks their ass while he's dancing with the ladies.
Yes, he's got some moves.
He does have some moves. Love it. Well...
No, I love all those things, but yeah, that's one of all those cheesy. Well, one of my favorite ones was actually from Kickboxer 2. It came up in the beginning, and most of these things you can usually download on torrent sites and you can find them. But there was my brother's eyes or something, and it was a cool song. Looked for it for years, couldn't find it ever. But one that I actually had on a music mix once, and I had it in my car. And someone heard it, and they were like, what the fuck is this? It was from the end of The Running Man. It was like, there's a cool-ass song that starts playing at the end of Running Man, and then it, like, plays through the whole credits. Like, it plays at the very end when Arnold Schwarzenegger actually smokes that guy, and then, like, gets the girls to some cheesy-ass gay line. And then, the music starts, and then it, like, plays all through the credits. And, I love that song. can't remember lighting what the name of it is. I had it on a mix.
I'm going to go put that on when we're finished.
All you got to do is go to the end of the movie and you'll see it. And I had it on a mix and like someone's like, what the fuck is this, man? Where'd you get this? What is this? And I'm like, don't ask. You don't want you. Don't worry about it. And that was back when... that was back before we had all this crazy technology, so I actually had to... I got a ghetto blaster out, and like, I hit record, I held it up to the TV.
Those are the days. Those are the days. Those are the days.
So I got many of those songs where it's like, the song is playing, you hear... It's like, and then you hear, fuck! And like, oh, then it goes back to playing good again.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, many of those days.
I was going to say, you're like one of the only people who actually knows where my podcasting... opening song.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's a fucking sin. That really is.
Yeah.
The first time I heard that, I'm like, oh shit, Bloodsport.
Yes.
I watch that like you gotta watch a movie like once a year, and it's one of those movies that if I'm flipping through and it's on TV, I don't care where it is, I'll sit and watch the whole damn thing from wherever part it is. I don't care, and I could tell you every word, every action. I know that the whole thing back and forth. Love that movie. Of course, that's the thing. I like all those martial arts movies we've had, those conversations.
That's something that we have in common, is our love for those movies.
Definitely.
Been watching them lately, too, so they're fresh in my mind.
I noticed that. You had a thing on there where it said that you watched No Retreat, No Surrender 2 and 3.
I watched No Retreat, No Surrender 1 and then Part 3, which they're not related whatsoever. But they're just in the same
set. I know, because the guy in the first one, he's kind of this geeky, dorky guy. Yeah. And then Lauren Avedon comes in.
And he, like, is the best.
Isn't he, though?
Yeah.
Well, we can take this time now to say that it was funny because you had him on your Facebook, and yes. I saw it, and I was like, but is that really him? Because what happened was I had this, I went through a phase where I really loved wrestling. And not so much anymore. I mean, I had liked it as a kid. Every woman did, I guess. Hulk Hogan, blah, 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 all that bullshit.
Yeah, please.
And then I started working at this club.
I'm going to see him in like a week and a half. I kid you not.
Nice. Well, then I started working at a club, and we all had our money shifts, but we all had a bad shift too. And my bad shift was Sunday night. And that just happened. It was Sunday or Monday, and then that's when wrestling was on. And it'd be like the last hour I was at the bar when there was nobody there, it'd be on TV, so I just watch it. So I kind of got into it. And I really liked Triple H. I thought he was cool. I still think he's cool. His wrestling had some cool stories back then. This was like 6 years ago, and not so much anymore. But I got into it for a while, watched it for a couple of years. Then he came out when he was in Blade. And,
oh, yeah.
I got his autograph and all this stuff, and then, I know, it was one of those moments. And then my girlfriend found him on Facebook, and she's like, yeah, this is really Triple H. And I'm like, I don't know about that. So I look at it, and I add him, and clearly not him. And I saw me being a fucking retard. I write to the guy, I'm like, oh my God, man, you're fucking great, I love you. Man, you're like the best. And he writes back to me, and he's like, hello. Thank you. I like you too. What the fuck? It's like some kind of automatic talk mail message you get on the phone. I'm like, for Christ's fucking sake. And then about a month later, he wasn't on there anymore. So I was like, they must have caught on to that shit.
Yeah.
And naturally, when I saw Lauren Avedon on there, I was like, is it really him? And then actually, when I talked to him after I wrote that Come On Hollywood, and then he wrote back, like, on the Come On Hollywood, I was pretty happy about that. And then I talked to him, and he's like, well, yeah, it's really me. He's like, you know, but if you want a blood test, you're going to come down here in Hawaii and take it, because I guarantee it's really me. But if you come down, we'll kick it. And like, I'm building a dojo, and I'm doing all this stuff. And I'm like, all right, I guess it is you. I believe you for now.
Yeah. Well, that was a great day when he accepted my Facebook thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind it, but Hawaii does happen to be on the complete other side of the fucking planet, so the likelihood of me getting there anytime soon is probably next to none. Not to mention the fact that you're on the other side of the planet, too.
Yeah.
It still kind of freaks me out that you're, like, the 12 or 13 hours that you're ahead of me means that you're, like, the next day.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, it's still the day before.
I'm in the future.
Which I find... Interesting.
Yeah, I'm in the future, but well, I can't really predict the future, so...
I was going to say, if you like, if there's a, we can somehow manage, if you, so you can tell me, like, lottery numbers, like, a day ahead, and then I can, like, I'll split it with you.
Yeah, well, if I if could do, that, I so would, but unfortunately, my magical powers don't do that.
Because, yeah, I'm not greedy. I'll give you half.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I can't do that, so.
Speaking of other movie sites, too, are you familiar with Dark Horizons? Because Garth is—he's from down under, your neck of the woods, isn't he? That's a whole—that's an Australian thing. Or do you even know?
That's a website that I don't frequent very often, but my boyfriend does, so he knows it better than I.
Well, I think we kind of discovered them. Me and my best friend, like Joe Blow, and Dark Horizons, like late '90s. And I mean, but and that was like back when. I can remember because one of the first trailers I watched on Dark Horizons was for Armageddon.
Oh fuck!
So
I
that's
hate
how
that
long
movie.
Ago it was.
Sorry.
So that just shows how long ago it was. Mm. But there's the difference. The biggest difference between like I go on Dark Horizons from time to time, and like, I. For Jolo, just because I work for Jolo, but I mean, what differentiates the two is that there are so many sites out there that just give you the news, like they tell you what's going on in the movie world, and they review a movie, but they don't. It's just they're just relaying the facts, and
there's,
the facts bounce
no
from site to site to site to site.
Yeah, you
exactly.
don't have opinions.
I mean, it's not even an opinion. Yeah. It's not even an opinion. Like what I like about Jolo.com is that all the writers try and slant it with. Some humor.
Yeah.
Now, some of the, like I said, you know, it's not all gold, it's not all the best, but I mean, what attracted me to Jolo.com was the fact that, you know, everyone does try to put that little bit of humor in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but you know what, they still try. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's taking news that you could get anywhere else, and that virtually every other site is the same way, and taking it and giving it a little extra flavor, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what I always liked about Jolo.com.
Yeah, well...
So, naturally...
Yeah, sorry.
What?
No, keep going. I was, like, going off say something, but then I forgot what I was saying, so you can keep going.
Nice. Okay, I'll hold the fort. Well, it was funny, like, I was always a big fan of the site, and I mean... When I say big fan, it was something I've tried to check every day, like at least once. I mean, just always to watch the trailers and hear the reviews. I mean, the reviews thing was, I mean, the reviews are hot and cold, right? Because, I mean, it's always just one opinion versus the movie. And so, you know, I didn't always, I took it with a grain of salt. But, I mean, as far as everything goes on a whole, I always thought Jolo.com was the best one. And then I remember there was one day I come out and I saw that... it said Jolo's looking for writers, and I was like, is that right? I was like, okay. So, ironically enough, it was the next month after I made my site that I was just fucking around with, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what I used as a staple. Like, is it what it was, you wrote in and said why you think, just like the BJ thing, like why you think you could write for it, and then of everybody that wrote in, they chose 20 people, and naturally I got selected. Of the 20 people, they were going to choose two. I think it's me and Aaron Horowitz that got chosen. And what they did was he wanted us to go and review a couple movies, and then we send in our reviews, and they pick, you know, the two guys that or girls that reviewed them the best, and that was our thing. And yeah, I won, and Aaron Horowitz won as well. I'm assuming it's him because it's like I started, and then he started shortly thereafter me. I don't know, so I don't really know how it all happened. But the only hard thing about working for the site is that we're all around the world. Like everybody's all in different spots. So like we don't have these days where we all go into the office and say, hey, what's happening? Like it doesn't really like. I mean, I'm the closest to Joe Blow, Burge, him and Arrow, and I think Jim Law as well. They all live in Tony Lang. They all live in Montreal. Now I say closest, but that's 6 hours away. But I mean, I'm the closest to those guys, And then we got everyone else. It's like just stationed everywhere else.
Yeah.
And I was actually going to go see. Like I was going to go up and I had to go through Montreal at one point this summer. I was going to stop in and try to see Burge and like meet him, meet Arrow, meet everybody, and get completely fucking wasted and just you know, talk movies all night. But I didn't make it there, unfortunately. But it would have been cool had I made it there. I mean, I'm hoping next year that they choose me to go to Comic-Con. Because after talking to Morano, Jesus Christ, that sounds like it's a time and a half. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah. If only. Well, I'm definitely never going. Well, no, I can't say I'm definitely never going, but not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Maybe in a few years.
Well, unless they hold it in unless they hold it in Australia.
Yeah, we get our conventions are like, I don't know, they're tiny. They're like just in this big room, and you know, we got to take what we can get as far as guests go. And the last one I went to, which was last month, it was just, they were just promoting the hell out of Twilight, and it was so irritating. And yeah,
is that the one where you had the picture of you and what's his name,
the Seth Green, is that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I did get to meet Seth Green, so that was cool. Even though we had to wait quite a while.
I like Seth Green. I just wish it'd be nice to see him do something more than just his... I mean, I'm sorry, but his bit part on Family Guy is pretty fucking lame. I mean, Chris is a pretty stupid character. He really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it's not even just the fact that he's a stupid character. It's the fact that he doesn't... He's not really a big part of it. Like, I don't even know why him and Mila Kunis actually stay on the show. I mean...
They
probably,
don't do much
like,
with
know,
them.
To...
But I haven't watched Family Guy the last couple, I think the last season or so, just because I haven't been bothered. I've been watching all the older stuff.
Well, I was watching it a little bit at first, but it kind of feels like they're running out of jokes, and they're really trying to lean on what you see in the tabloids, and some of it just doesn't really work. The one that was funny, there was one where Stewie did steroids and got super jacked. That one was funny. But
I didn't see that. I
stopped watching them.
The last one I saw was when they did a Stephen King one, and they did Stand By Me and Shawshank Redemption and that. And because, like...
Now that was kind of funny.
They're, like, my two really favorite movies. I had to just watch that, so...
Stand By Me,
funny.
Favorites of all time.
That's my favorite movie ever.
I definitely love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites of all time, for sure. And the funny thing is, I'm actually, Dean Koontz is actually an acquaintance. Like, I've written back and forth to him probably 6-7 times now. He's a really, really cool guy. I never wrote to Stephen King, but Dean Koontz is a decent fellow. After I read his book, Intensity. And then I thought it was fucking amazing. And then I heard that they had a made-for-TV movie of it, and I looked everywhere for it, couldn't find it, so I wrote to him, and he told me that, you know, it was out there and you could get it. And I ended up getting it later on. I was completely fucking pissed when they made that French rip-off piece of shit garbage movie that copied it, like, almost fucking scene by scene. And like, and I asked him, I was like, man, how the fuck can they get away with bullshit like that? And he's like, man, it's like a huge lawsuit, and he actually won. But do you know what movie I mean? I'm trying to think of it, because Jim actually used a part of it in his top 10 last week, the blowjob one.
What was it?
It was the one where like there was like the head. It was like the sawed-off head, and that was.
If
from
you don't
the
remember
movie.
What it's called, I
well, he didn't.
What
he named it though, the movie he said it was from, he used the French. Like he didn't use the real name of the movie. He used the French version of it. But yeah. Needless to say, it. I read the movie because it looked okay, and then I'm watching it and I'm like, wow, this seems kind of familiar.
Yeah.
And then it kind of they change a couple things, but I swear to fuck, the first hour of that movie is play by play of that book, and then they change it at the end. It's like, oh no, the chick did miss it, but she's really crazy. Yeah, she kills everybody. Yeah, okay, whatever, it's over. And I'm like, oh my god, how the fuck? Like, I don't know how the hell shit like that happens, but I was pissed. But yeah, needless to say, Dean Koontz wasn't too happy about.
Well, I was gonna say, if you were pissed, I can't imagine he would have been too happy about the situation.
Oh, yeah. No, he definitely wasn't very happy about it. It definitely was one of those topics that he that kind of got him going.
Oh yeah, I can imagine it would have been.
Well, yeah, and I just didn't understand how people could even do that. Like, I mean, I know we live in a day and age of ridiculousness and remakes, but I mean, holy fuck, to take 3/4 of a guy's book and then paste it over something else and then kind of change a couple things at the end. Yeah, that's kind of rough. Well, then again, that's kind of what happened. Like, the same kind of bullshit happened with The Matrix, too. You know that, right?
Do you know what? I haven't even thought about the movie for such a long time because I'm so sick of it.
Oh, I know. Well, the first one was good, but, like, what happened was the Wachowski brothers, morons that they are, they had this conference thing where they had a contest for whoever could write the best sci-fi short story one. I think it was 10 grand or whatever. So it was like a contest for best short story, got 10 grand. Anyway, the best short story was, or like, this is what the rumor, like, nothing's really concrete, but this is what it's kind of gone on in the internet, how it started, like, in a nutshell, was this woman, I forget her name, she wrote The Matrix, sent it to them, won it, but then later on down the road, these guys made The Matrix, and they stole her idea, made The Matrix, made a pile of money, but since the only story they had was The Matrix, they wanted to make that whole trilogy and keep it going, but since, and I think it did say that she did write 2 books or 2 short stories to connect it all together. I never read them. I don't even know how you can get them. I didn't really look into it as much because I was still sickened by the whole thing. But that's why the second and third Matrix suck balls, because they didn't. It was the Wachowskis using their intellect and a bunch of other screenwriters to try and duplicate the thought process that this woman had when she created The Matrix, which virtually impossible. I mean, yes, you can take a movie that's there and think up a couple sequels. I mean, it's not terribly difficult to do. I mean, but at the same time, it fucks the fans because we never see how Neo was really supposed to do this or what really happened in The Matrix or what really was going to go on. We just get the watered down bullshit version that got made just so the studios could make a little extra money.
I don't know if I'd heard that. I mean, that sounds kind of familiar, but I'm not sure.
I actually looked it up, but she actually won. I wrote about this on my website. Like, she actually won the battle. I don't remember if it was in 2007 or there was a thing. I've got it on Hollywood Raw. I've got all the specifics.
Innocent promotion right there.
What's that?
I said innocent promoting right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we didn't hear that. No, I have the whole thing on there and like exactly what happened. But I couldn't believe that when I first heard it. I thought it was bullshit. But then I looked it up and it's actually true.
Oh.
And then she actually she squeezed these guys for like a lot of money.
Oh.
So she's happy now.
Yeah, oh, well.
We're not happy because we got fucked over, but she's happy because she got her money.
Yeah, well, that's one movie that I haven't wanted to think about for the longest time because I'm just so over it. I mean, it was fucking 10 years ago now.
I do want to buy it on Blu-ray, though, just to see how cool it looks.
I'm sure it would look great. I haven't watched it for a very long time.
No, I know, me neither.
I think it was like one of my first DVDs that I ever bought. But that's when it was like, you know, it just came out, so...
Yeah, but that's why I remember seeing them all in theaters. So I remember when the second one came out, I was like, oh yeah, we gotta go see that. The second one was...
Yeah, you're just sitting there going, what the fuck is this bullshit? Fuck off.
Well, the third one, we were just kind of watching it going,
huh?
What?
What the fuck is this?
I'm not a stupid guy, but this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. Just the fucking crap.
Well, no, as far as Joblo and the whole writing thing goes, I mean, I definitely have a lot of respect for anyone that writes speak of like what I said about putting your own slant on things.
Mm.
But the other thing that Burge really stresses, he wants you to put your opinions into everything.
Mm.
And I mean, that's a tricky fucking thing, opinions. Because I mean, most of the time, most of us keep our opinions to ourselves and we let them out in a controlled area. Like in an area where it's our friends, our peers, like people that we know, that we're comfortable with. Then you throw out your opinion because no one's really going to shove it in your face. I mean, yeah, your friends might make fun of you, but I mean, no one's going to hurt your feelings kind of deal, or try to.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with this site. Everything that he wants us to write, whether it's, you know, just the news or what's going on or a review, he wants it to be not as much what's going on. Yeah, like the idea is there for what's actually happening, but he wants it to be what we think of it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and like I said, it's tricky, especially when you put a strike back thing, and then anybody who has the internet can look at it and tear you a new ass if they want to.
Yeah.
And I've seen... I've seen quite a lot of stuff get written in there.
There's some really funny, like, strikebacks on there. And then there's just some really stupid ones in it. The thing, when you open it up to get, you know, commented on stuff that you do, you just open up a whole can of worms and it's like, fucking, you're gonna see everything.
Well, I remember,
hilarious.
The first thing that Sturdy said to me when I took over Come On Hollywood, he's like, man.
I remember that. Sorry.
He's like, the one thing I want to tell you that matters more than anything else, he's like, don't take the strikebacks personally.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, don't worry, dude. I was like, I got thick skin. I've been writing for a long time. I'm not too worried about what, you know, so-and-so thinks. Because the thing about it is, I mean, you can't expect everybody to agree with your opinion. That's never going to happen. I mean, if you get 50%, hey, that's great.
But the thing is, like, nobody's ever going to agree on something. And
exactly. No one will.
The thing, when you put your opinion out there, you have to realize that there's people that are going to disagree with you, and they're going to disagree with you big time. It's
something you've got to be prepared for. Well, the other thing is, there are people that love it.
Oh, yeah.
There are people that love it, that jump from site to site and live in these strike back areas so they can, like, so just to have their opinion on there. Like, people, they love that shit. Like, they love it, you know, and that's kind of their thing. And I mean, I don't take that away from, I don't begrudge anybody your opinion. I mean, if I wrote in there that I thought Twilight was the shittiest movie ever, and then someone said it was great, okay. If I said I liked it, and someone said you're a fucking retard, okay, fine. I mean,
yeah.
I've had people, I reviewed this ridiculous fucking movie, what was it, Wet Hot Summer or something? Some fucking cheesetacular thing that came out a long time ago. It had Janine Garofalo in it. And
yeah,
a few, like,
I
a
think
few
I know what
that,
you mean. Yeah, but I think I've
yeah,
seen
they were no names then, but they were in it. And, you know, I've got a pretty... I'm very open-minded, especially when it comes to comedy. Comedy and horror, I'm very open-minded. I can take just about anything. But this thing was just fucking horrible. So, you know what? I just completely destroyed it in the review. And I had a bunch of people email me. Oh, my God. I had death threats. I had this one. And then I had this one guy. He emails me and he's like...
I love the death threats.
He says something like... He's like, Wet Hot Summer was awesome. Like, I don't trust you. But if you want to call me, this is my number. And we can talk about trust. Up the movie, and I'm like,
right.
Okay.
I think you might need
Hold
help,
on. Just,
fella.
I'll be right back. I'm just gonna put that on my speed dial. What's that?
I'm thinking that guy needs some professional help.
Oh, I'm just looking at this, and I'm like, does this asshat really want me to fucking call him? That is ridiculous. That's hilarious. I should call him to see what the fuck's going on. Hey, man. Yeah, I wrote that review. So, what's happening? Let's talk about some trust. What do you got for me?
Oh God.
I'm going to record this for the police, just in case.
Oh, man.
No, I got that. I've got told that I'm the dumbest motherfucker on the planet. I can't write for shit. That I'm fucking stupid. That they should kill me. That I should jump off a bridge. You know, I've heard it all. But don't get me wrong, that's only one side of it. I mean, I also have had a lot of people say good things.
Well,
and then I've had people add me on Facebook. And then people email me. And I mean, that's nice, too.
I was going to say, I'm sure for every, like, death threat, there's also a compliment somewhere.
It is, but you also gotta understand, the funny thing about it is, the people that are more apt to write in are the ones that don't like it.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, you always got to take the good ones as gratuitous great things, like, you know, but at the same time, like Sturdy said, you just don't take any of it personally because, I mean, again, well, the other hard part is, too, I mean, from my perspective, I mean, whether it's Come On Hollywood or whatever, I mean, Come On Hollywood in itself, I find, is a bit of a guillotine. I mean, first of all, I've got to pick something that I think is wrong with Hollywood or Hollywood-ish, and then not only is that my idea, then I've got to come up with, then I've got to, like, you know, place my opinions that are close to my heart about this idea on there. So I'm really setting myself up. And the hardest thing about it is not writing it, not coming up with the ideas. It's the fact that there's a generation gap because the Joe Blow populace is pretty much, I would say, divided 50% of people that are, you know, the 18 to 25-year-olds. That's 50% of it. And then the other 50% is the 25 to 35 or 40-year-olds. And so, and since I'm 32, so my opinion on, say, comedy or horror or whatever the case is going to be, you know, congruent with people that are in my age category. But, I mean, then again, some people that are my age might not agree with me, too. But, I mean, it's harder because a lot of the newer age, like from the first category, are a lot of those people are the ones that write in the most. And, you know, and sometimes they're just completely not going to... Like, these guys grew up on Dragon Ball Z and shit like that, and I'm just like, I don't even know what the fuck Dragon Ball Z is.
I don't want to know what a fucking, like, Dragon Ball Z is, so...
So, I mean, you know, we got that, and, I mean, it's also... I mean, there's the whole thing. It's just become kind of a PG-13 kind of pussy era. And, I mean... I find that hard to swallow because I like the 90s. Like, the idea in the 90s, it was kind of like, you know, the idea was, yeah, the world sucks, but who fucking cares? Let's go kick somebody's ass. That was, like, how it was. That's what everyone kind of, that was the thought process. Mm. And now it's kind of like, oh, the world sucks, but let's keep it PG because we don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
Because we're all pussies. And it's like, get the fuck out of my face with that bullshit. Like, that's, and yeah. it's really it's irritating. It's irritating.
Yeah. For sure.
But, I mean, that's the thing about a panel. That's why, like, I've got a lot of respect for everybody that that writes for the site because everybody's sticking their neck out. You know what I mean? They're giving their opinion. And they're trying their ass off, you know, to be funny. Like, it's not exactly easy to be consecutively funny. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for comedians, too, because they make it look easy. Just not easy.
No.
I'll tell you who I really feel bad for is Jim Law coming up with those top tens every fucking week. Jesus Christ! Because not only does he have to come up with a cool gimmick, but he's got to come up with 10 blurbs, and he's got to make every blurb funny, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a few people were, you know, trying to chop his nuts off a while back for the Halloween one. You know, like, and just, but I mean, you know, that's the thing.
I thought that was funny.
So did I. I mean, this stuff is done for entertainment. I mean, yes... It's giving news, like news on movies and stuff, and yes, it's reporting a lot of things that are valid and are happening, but I mean, it's entertainment, guys, and every now and again you want to have a little bit of fucking fun, like calm the fuck down. Like, I saw someone tear somebody, like, they'll tear your head off. Like, some of these fans, if you write something, like, I think Nikki wrote a piece on Family Guy about Stewie being gay or something. Anyway, the fans fucking tore her fucking head off. This isn't about movies. What are you writing about this for? Who fucking cares? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, holy Christ, guys.
Insane.
Like, the world isn't just about movies. I mean, I know that, like, on Dark Horizons, Garth writes about, you know, TV stuff, too. Like, on my side, I throw, like, TV stuff on there, too. I mean, you know, it's all connected, right? I mean, everything, like, movies, TV, like, I think it's all kind of hand-in-hand.
Yeah, definitely. Like...
Of course,
you know, there's certain things that are going to relate to each other, so I don't really see anything wrong with having TV stuff with, you know, when there's something that's mainly movie-related, because it's kind of gone off from just being movie-related anyway, because there's much more going on.
Half of all our actors are now
in TV.
On TV shows.
Yeah.
Well, when I wrote that article about, you know, TV showing up movies, I truly believe that.
It can do, for sure.
Like, I mean, especially like, if you get like if you look into like the horror aspect of it. I mean, with the sad state that horror's been in. I mean, the one of the best shows on TV that I thought of that I thought was great was Masters of Horror. I mean, that was, like, if you asked me what the epitome of fucking horror was, I would say that first season of that show. I mean, the second season wasn't all that great, which is probably why we haven't seen the third season. But the first fucking season, bang on. That's what horror is about. And, I mean, I think people have forgotten that. They really have. I mean, the definition of horror is an intense, powerful feeling of repugnance and fear. Yes, I looked that up. I didn't remember that off the top of my head.
Yeah, you but so I mean, looked that up.
But I mean, you know, that's the definition. It's not like some cheesy fucking PG-13 pussy fucking merry-go-round bullshit. And that's what we're getting these days.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't blame people for kind of going to theater to see it, because I mean, if you take something like, say, the Stepfather remake, which pure and utter crap. I mean, just ridiculous. However, the ironic thing is, I mean, I can't blame these next generation people for going to see it because I don't know how things work in Australia, but here, if you go into Blockbuster, which is one of our main movie store chains.
Well, we have Blockbuster here as well.
So. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Nice. It's everywhere. They're taking over,
yeah,
fuckers.
Yeah, Blockbuster.
The horrible thing is, if you go in there, you can't really get old movies anymore.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know exactly.
There's very
what I mean.
Few, and of the few that there are, they're getting weeded out real fucking quick. So I mean, the only way a person can see these flicks is if they order them on DVD. And I mean, a person isn't gonna most of the time they're not gonna take a chance by ordering on DVD. And then not only that, I mean, when movies upgraded from VHS to DVD, I mean, here we are all these years later, and half of them you still can't even get on DVD. Because they haven't even, like, I mean, fuck, Monster Squad didn't even come on DVD for, like, since 2 years ago. I was, like, waiting for that shit forever. It's, like, one of my favorite flicks of all time.
Mm.
But, I mean, that's the thing. A lot of this stuff, like...
I only think that came out recently here on DVD, and I think that it is on DVD here. I'm not even 100% sure.
They came out with a 25th anniversary edition.
I think it just came out, but I'm just going to look it up. That way I know, so I'm not talking shit. No, Monster Squad...
Well, no, I just...
No... Is it? No. It's not even out here. Okay, I'm just talking out of my ass then.
Well, the funny thing was, you can still get it, because, like, you know, if you go on to eBay and shit, you get like,
Amazon
these pirated
and eBay
people.
Are my friends.
Well, not Amazon, because Amazon would only
well,
deal with a real
I'm just saying, like,
thing.
You know.
No, I know what you're saying.
In
me
other
too.
Respects,
I love both of them. But if you go on to eBay, you get,
yeah,
like, these jackasses who will... They'll make a pirated copy of it, like, off the internet.
I know
they'll,
you're about
and they'll, that. They'll burn that onto a CD,
yeah.
But it's pretty much the VHS copy burned
yeah,
onto a CD.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'll make, like, a sheet cover for the DVD thing, and then they'll heat wrap it up, and they'll sell it to you for $10.
Yeah.
But there's piles of places on eBay that'll do that.
Yeah.
To be honest, I actually bought the Monster Squad... about 6 or 7 years ago, in that fashion. I went through an eBay phase where I ordered everything on eBay.
I went through an eBay phase.
I get, like, every day.
I went through this phase because, seriously, this country sucks for DVD, and I went on about this a few episodes ago. There's so much shit that you can't get here, and the only way to get it is to get it online, and I went through this phase where I was buying everything off eBay because I could not get it. And things like...
Well, that was the thing.
Things like Near Dark, you could not get here
yes.
up until like a year
really?
Ago. And I went and got, I think it was a Region 2 off eBay, because I had to
yeah.
have the movie, because
yeah.
my only copy
Region
was like
Region
2s
and
crap.
Stuff. Yeah, stuff like that.
And
yeah, I mean, you can find all kinds of that shit on eBay.
And I was
like,
just blind buying all sorts of stuff because I wanted to see it, and there was just no way to see it. I couldn't even find it on, like, you know, VHS to watch.
Well, that's what happened. I mean, I love vampire movies. And I even love, like, the oldest, cheesiest cheese ones, the ones that are pretty much porn. Yeah, I love them all. I love
There's nothing
all
wrong with
vampire
ones
movies.
That are softcore porn.
Yeah, shh, we won't tell anybody that. Yeah. My girlfriend, I had a bunch of them, like, on DVD, and she's like, what is this? Is this any good? I'm like, no, baby, you wouldn't like that shit. You wouldn't like that. It's no good. It's no good. I just collect them. It's collection. Collection purpose. I don't even watch that shit, baby. Just don't even look at that shit. Honest, don't look at it. Or you, like you see with Melissa. If you see Alyssa Milano on the cover, yeah, you know it's fucking softcore porn. Or if it's like super old and it's like almost like it's black and white, but it's not. Like just jumped into color. Like what was it? Vampire Lovers. That was one of my favorite ones. Pretty much just chicks making out and boobs the whole way through it. Like love it.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with watching.
There's no storyline. No storyline whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just chicks, boobs. That's it.
Yeah, well, this is
one of those ones you watch when everyone else goes to bed or when there's nobody else around.
There's no one around. It's funny that, like, because I moved cities last year, so I'm in a bigger city now. And since moving here, I found, like, these really cool, like, little obscure DVD places. And even one still sells.
They're gold, aren't they?
They're like, they sell VHS. And we're going in there.
They're definitely going to sell VHS.
You know, unfortunately, their prices are really high because they import stuff. They've got all these obscure titles, and they're like all these things that I've wanted to see for so long and have not been able to find. It's like I just can't afford them. And there's titles like, you know, what you just said, the Vampire Lovers, and
all sorts of weird shit.
Like there's this. We saw this movie. I'd never ever knew this thing existed, and now that we've gone back to buy it, it's not there. It was like this softcore movie about Cyrano with the really big nose, but
yeah, Cyrano the Bergerac or whatever.
Yeah, but his nose isn't exactly a nose, and it looked like the most hilariously awesome thing ever.
Yeah.
And
I mean, yeah, because that's
we went back
the
to
one.
Buy
that,
it,
that's
and
your showpiece.
We
that's
went back to buy it, and it wasn't collection. There. They've got all these weird things like that, and I love stuff like that. Anything that's so bizarre and weird that... Oh, I love it.
Yeah, that would be the one that you have in your DVD. So it'd be rated eye level, and then someone would actually notice it one day. What is this shit? And they pull that out, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
What's going on here? No, but, I hear you. I went crazy on eBay and bought, there was a... What was that one? It's called Stone Cold. It was a biker.
Yeah.
Do you remember? You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Brian Bosworth. That one with him and Lance Hendrickson, where they're like, he infiltrates the biker bar. Fucking love that movie. But that was one of the ones that you can't find that on DVD. Well, you might be able to now, but I know you couldn't like a few years ago when I looked for it. But I bought like a pile of them just to have them.
Yeah.
And I'm watching them like in having this big 80s nostalgic moment, and everyone's like, what the fuck is that crap? And I'm like, shut up.
It's good. I know. It's weird when you have like this obscure collection and you've got titles that no one's ever heard of, and they're like, what the fuck
this?
Or what is this? Why are you watching this? You have the worst taste in movies ever. But then they'll turn around and say, oh, can you recommend something good to watch? Yeah, fuck off.
No, exactly.
I'm going to recommend you something shit now for insulting me.
Well, I've got like, I love all forms of fantasy movies too, so, but I mean, the problem with that was back in the 80s, any live-action fantasy was just softcore porn. Like, there's, like, the Deathstalker series. There's, like, fucking five or six of them. And it's pretty much, like, dude is, like, he's, like, have you seen that show, Legend of the Seeker?
No.
Based on books?
No.
Well,
I'm not into that genre, so I wouldn't have seen it. No.
I'll put it to you this way. He's like Aragorn. He's like Aragorn from Lord of the Rings. He's running around, but he's like banging every chick along the way.
Cool.
But when that happens, it stops into like a 15-minute softcore porn music.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Yeah, it's just one of those.
Oh, well, so, I'd probably watch that.
So, yeah, I've got a couple of those. And so I was like, what is Deathstalker? I'm like, no, you wouldn't like it. don't even worry about Deathstalker. You just put that right back. It's just there for show.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't worry. I've got more than a few obscure pieces in my DVD collection.
It's funny, even the ones that aren't that obscure, and people are looking at my collection, they'll be like, "What's that? This looks disgusting. Why are you watching this?" And it'd be like, Eraserhead, and just people don't know. Like, it's just it's just weird. Like, everyone's different with movies. Everyone loves movies, but everyone's different. There's so many people that just are so mainstream and they've never even heard of half the stuff that I'm into.
Well, the biggest thing, like, I'm a big horror fan, and I mean, I definitely like a lot of, like, and like from the oldest things to some of the newest. I mean, well, the newest thing, I don't like how, of course, they're remaking everything with a PG-13
rating. Well, yeah, that's kind of crap.
But I mean, you know, I really enjoyed your guys' what the fuck moments thing on your last,
I noticed you enjoyed that.
Well, like, that was the thing. I mean, I wrote the column after I because I thought, you know what, I want to get on this shit. But I mean, I thought it was funny because I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know what, like, because that night after I read it, I was eating supper, and Resident Evil Apocalypse was on TV. Mm. And I mean, I love that movie.
I hate that
movie. I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, wow, they're going through the cemetery. And fucking zombies come up. Like, how the fuck did the T-Virus get down there? But, no, so, I mean, and I just, I like that. The only remake I liked I liked the Dawn of the Dead one. That was, that was really fucking...
That's one of the really rare crazy good ones.
Like, it was, I remember we watched it, when I first started dating my girlfriend, Resident Evil Apocalypse was coming out in theaters. And she wasn't really much into horror, and she hadn't seen the first Resident Evil because the commercial come on, and I was like, oh fuck, I want to see that. And she's like, well, what the hell's Resident Evil? I'm like, oh really? So I pop in the DVD of the first one, and she got like totally freaked out by the zombies and whatever. And then so after that, it became kind of a joke, and I just kind of like I kind of made fun of her a lot about it and said that zombies are real and they'll actually come kill you. And then when we went to we went to a buddy's house, and he had Dawn of the Dead. It had just come out, and we all got super high, and it came up somehow, and so he throws it in, and my girlfriend starts freaking out because, well, I mean, actually, I kind of almost freaked out, too. I mean, Jesus Christ, you're watching it. The very beginning, that little girl comes in, rips that guy's heart. I'm like, holy fuck! And I'm like, yeah, this is fucking nuts. And like, it just kind of got really intense after that, but, you know, I shrugged it off after. I didn't care, but she was kind of mortified. She actually, she was so mad and so upset that she came up with a kind of a real-life game plan on, like, I was like, look, just took me aside when she's like, okay, if the world ever gets taken over, don't laugh, if it ever gets taken over by zombies, for real, this is what we gotta do. And I'm like, really? Are you serious? But she was actually dead serious. She's got it all mapped out. So, I mean, I don't, like, if it ever does happen, like in the whole zombie land thing, if, like, someone takes a bite of a burger and everyone goes zombie, I'm pretty sure we'll be okay.
Yeah, that's well, the funny thing with zombie movies, too, so. They make you think, like, oh, shit, if that really happened, what the fuck am I going to do?
Well, the funny thing about zombies is, like, they take the whole mythology of it, and it changes almost every movie. Because, I mean, back in the day, it was like, if you were a zombie, it was because of voodoo, and you were just, that was, like, where the expression came from, right? A mindless zombie, because you just sit there with that blank look on your face, and like, what's going on? And now, but then that quickly changed into, we want to eat your brains. And then that changed into 28 days later when they're fucking hyped up, crazy fucking zombies who can run like
but
faster than
they weren't really zombies. It was a virus, and then everyone just assumed that were zombies, and then they're like, oh, zombies are gonna be like crazy bastards now.
I know. It just kind of it branches off from there. So, but then there's also the whole government experiment where for some reason the army have this big batch of something, some kind of chemical that they leave lying around, but if you go and ingest some of it, you become like, it's hilarious. I love the whole zombie thing, because it just kind of goes rather back and forth.
Yeah, well, my favorite zombies are like the George Romero, Dawn of the Dead,
yes,
Night
the
of
the
Living Dead,
ones.
You know, that sort of thing. Not like insane zombies, because I just think, like, they're dead, they're not going to
be
like running around.
Yeah, the ones that move like 2 miles an hour, and like, you know, just kind of like,
but it's still
they're
scary.
Humping along.
Because
yeah, well,
they'll get you eventually.
It's a dead thing.
They'll get you eventually.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. Like,
but you've got time. You've got time to formulate a plan.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
I remember, like, when I was a kid, it was like kind of a big deal. I just everybody was cool if you were watching a scary movie.
Oh yeah.
And so me and my little brother went through this phase where he did the whole big brother big sisters thing. So his big brother took us out. And it was great because Mom didn't believe in any of that bullshit, because if it wasn't like the Mini Pops or Elvin and the Chipmunks, we weren't allowed to watch it. So that's when we go to Grammy's house and watch all the fucking crazy shit.
Well,
or,
you can never watch it at home. You always had to go to somebody else's house where they didn't know what was going on.
So he took us over to his place to stay the night, and he had to go somewhere, but he's like, all right, guys, I'm going to get you a couple movies, and you can just go from there. So we're like, hey, great, all right, eh? So we're just kind of shaking our hands, and we're like, we go in and pick the most scariest shit that we could fucking find. And we went home, I remember it was Demons 2. And so they throw this in. And although it was the first Demons, I don't know if you can remember, but it had like the VHS cover. The guys looked like they were like covered in pizza. It was pretty sad.
Yeah, I actually saw that for sale not long ago. So
yeah, well, the actual thesis, the whole mind thing behind it was they were at a theater and the dude had a mask, and when he took it off, it cut him and he turned into a demon, and then everyone got all fucked up. And the second one was, for some reason, this chick was having a party in, like, this high-rise on, like, the top fucking floor, and it's her party, and it's, like, her birthday or something, not to be confused with that whole Night of the Demon stuff, but it's her birthday, anyway, everyone's partying their ass off in the other room, so she's in her room by herself, fucking black-ass room, all the lights turned off, she's watching a movie, and it's Demons, the first one, and, like, there's, like, a demon on the screen, and she's like, oh my god, that's, like, crazy. So there's this whole thing where she's, like, moving her face closer to the screen, and then bang, the fucking demon slashes out at her and cuts her, and what do you know? She turns into a demon. And then she goes out in the other room, and she's fucking ripping people to pieces, and everyone's going fucking crazy. And me and my brother, we were still kind of cool with it at that point. And then, like, blood is, like, circulating down through the fucking floor, and it's, like, it drips into the old lady below, and her dog licks it, and then a demon head pops out of the dog's head, and it rips her fucking pieces, and, like, we're like, holy fuck. We're, like, looking at each other, and, like, both of us trying to be cool, like, not like we don't want to watch it. Yeah. The only movie I ever turned up. We were, like, little kids then, too, but
yeah.
It was kind of partly my fault, because, like, when I used to babysit them when I was a kid, I had my little brother and sister. One time I rented Pet Sematary when it first came out.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just, like, young, right? So, but I said, fuck it. We all watch it. And it was fine until that whole Zelda part. With, like, the chick's, like, fucked up sister that was, like, kind of, like, almost a zombie, and like, she's all fucked up and her spine's all fucked up.
Mm.
Yeah, so when that part gets on, my brother and sister just lose it, and, like, they start crying and shit, and I'm laughing, and then the movie's over. Well, they told my mommy and I got in shit, but after that, though, the funny thing was, for the longest time, they would do anything I wanted them to do, because I'd be like,
I'm gonna put that movie on
do
now.
This for me, and they'd be like, no, and I'm like, well, you know, if you don't do that, I'm going to take you down to the basement. There's a secret compartment that I only have the key to. And in there is Zelda. I'm going to let her out. And she'll come up. She'll come into your room when you're sleeping. She'll fucking rip you to pieces. You won't even feel a thing. You'll just be dead. And they're just like, oh! Like tears in their eyes and shit.
Yeah.
They do whatever. Until they got old enough to know that I was full of shit. But
yeah, I suffered the same thing from my older cousin. But it was over the stupidest thing.
That's what older brothers and sisters do.
But it was stupid because I would watch a lot of things and not get scared. Like, I remember earlier on we would watch, like, The Lost Boys and stuff like that and be so cool and, you know, we wanted to drink blood and do all this cool stuff and fly around and whatever. But what used to freak me out was the demon hell dog thing, whatever the fuck it was in Ghostbusters. Like, that's not even scary, but as a kid I found that so scary. And my cousin used to threaten me that I'd have to sit through and watch it if I didn't do what she wanted. And then one day I'm like, I'm just going to sit and watch it. And when I watched the whole thing, I'm like, that wasn't really scary. Why was I shitting my pants over that for?
Oh, you think that's bad? My grandparents live out in the middle of boondock fucking nowhere, okay? And for some reason, to this day, it didn't really bug me when I was a kid. Freaks the fuck out of me now. They have two cemeteries on their property. Like, I didn't think anything of it when I was a kid, because you don't really know. We used to hide and seek at night in the cemetery, like, hiding behind you. Couldn't catch me dead in that shit now. But now I look at it and I'm like, god damn, that's fucked up. But I mean, back then, like I said, I used to rent all these bad movies at Grammy's house. So that's when I got into Nightmare on Elm Street. And my aunt, fluke fucking ridiculous, but my aunt took me with her and she had to go visit a friend of hers. And this place, they live in Heartland, which is like, I wouldn't expect you to know where that is, but it's like a small boon, hillbilly-ass, middle-of-nowhere place. But you know they had a fucking Elm Street, because we went to visit her friend on Elm Street, and I saw that shit, because I was like, what the fuck, Elm Street? I didn't even know they had an Elm Street here. We went in, no word of a fucking lie, her friend's name was Freddy. What are the fucking odds of that happening? No, like, I can't make this shit up. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like 13, I'm trying to sound all cool, I'm trying to be cool, I'm like... this is fucked up. And she's in the other room talking to Freddy, and I'm in the living room by myself with the TV on, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm trying to formulate a plan, because, like, the house is kind of creepy, too. It was, like, run down fucking hill, and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do if Freddy's head starts coming out of that fucking wall? What am I going to do? But, yeah, it was fun. Never went back there again, but, yeah.
No, I probably wouldn't have gone back there. That would have been too creepy. Not that...
The only one that
not
I
that
could
a Nightmare
watch was...
on Elm Street is freaky, but... You know,
the only one I could watch was I could justify watching the Friday the 13th when I was young because I thought, okay, he doesn't kill kids. Then when I hit teenager years, I was like, fuck, I'm in the teenage years. He'll kill me now. God damn it. Yeah, that's what I don't like. The funny thing about horror movies, like, you watch them and it's that these people, they linger. Like, they hang out, and they stay, and, like, they don't go anywhere. I mean, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, like, the way it began, sure, Freddy
wanted
to kill
people
freaky. That
were
on. Yeah.
The idea is freaky, getting killed in your dreams, but then it just kind of went into, like,
but
horror
as it
comedy
progressed,
territory.
After he killed everybody that was actually involved with his death, as it progressed, it turned into he kills people that are only on Elm Street. Okay, well, here's a newsflash, guys. When you realize there's a fucking maniac that can kill you in your dreams because you live on Elm Street, you fucking move, and you never come back.
Who wants to live on Elm Street, really?
Yeah, nobody, ever. Exactly. You move. I mean,
but then
Camp
it's
Crystal
like,
Lake.
Who wants to go to freaking Camp Crystal Lake? You're just going to get killed.
Nobody, exactly.
It just,
you know that.
It's so silly. Like,
it's like, yeah, I heard a rumor that a million people got bludgeoned here. Let's go there and camp out.
But they're not rumors.
They're
actually real. But then, you know...
I heard there was some marijuana there. Let's go get high.
But then, you know, that series progressed into, like, oh, Jason's going to go to space now, and...
You know what, though? I love that one. Anything in space, you put... I don't care what it is. You put it in space, and I'll watch it. I love space. I love it if it's in space.
Oh,
I don't know why,
rocks.
But it's... We don't get enough good movies that are in space. I totally enjoyed Pandorum. No one liked it for some reason. Everyone kept saying it was zombies in space. These things weren't fucking zombies at all. It had nothing to do with zombies. Like, I can't really say what happened because it'll give away parts of the movie. But
and I haven't seen
great
it.
Movie, like great
well,
space movie.
I still
movie.
Want to
I
check
enjoyed.
It out.
Oh, you should, and it would definitely be one that would be fun on Blu-ray.
No, I didn't have Blu-ray.
Not that I'm trying to really promote Blu-ray, but I mean,
I
love
yet.
Blu-ray now.
I don't have it yet. No. I don't have a high-def TV yet.
What? Man, you're living in the Stone Age.
Oh, it's not that I'm living in the Stone Age. It's just that, you know, things cost a little bit more in this country.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Our prices seem to be higher than everywhere else. So when the time is right and I've got that, you know, saved up, like I'm, you know, saving up just to go all out and get the HD TV, Blu-ray player.
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, I get a lot of Blu-rays to review from the site.
You
but
know, it's
at
it's,
the same time, those motherfuckers cost like sometimes $30 and $35 a pop.
Well, when you say like $35, $35 would probably be $35 here anyway.
I think that would be much different.
I think the Australian dollar and Canadian dollar is actually about the same. But most Blu-rays here new release ones are like $40, but like older ones are about $29, I think. Depends
really?
If they're on special, $25, but that's kind of where
it's at. It's about the same here too. I mean, you know, there's a few of them that are on like there's $9.99 deals like sometimes, but they're still for the most part for the bulk of it, the good ones are between $25 and up.
Mm.
But
it depends what it is, but I think still it's really overpriced here because it's not, you know, it's not as it hasn't taken off. Like, it's still taking off, I mean. Like, not as many people have them yet, but they will.
It's not the thing yet.
It is the thing, but I think it's because it's so pricey now, when it does go down, more people are going to get it.
Well, I suppose there is sort of an economic crunch out there.
Things are getting better, but, you know, it's just that I think it's going to take off a bit more in the future.
Well, have you watched any horror movies that have actually deterred you from actually wanting to go somewhere or like for example, The Ocean and Me? Doesn't happen. Will never happen.
No.
Because for some reason, it's not even just Jaws. I mean, yes, if
never
I get in the ocean and I can't see the bottom, I automatically have that Jaws music and it freaks me the fuck out.
No.
But it's not just Jaws. They've created every possible kind of monster that could be underwater, and like some shit that doesn't even exist, but they've just created so much that could be under there. And it's like one of those things where we don't really know what's in the uncharted regions of the oceans. It was still that whole mystical mystery thing. Yeah, I fucking hate the ocean.
No way. I love it.
Hollywood killed the ocean.
No, I love it. And where I used to go swimming, there would actually be sharks there. Like, not when I was swimming.
I'll kick it on the beach.
It's a known area for sharks.
I'll be, like, on the beach.
Yeah. But it's a known area for sharks.
Not
but
in the water.
It's never scared me. And I go swimming. I go far out because Australian beaches, you have to go really far out to get anywhere remotely deep. So Jaws and movies like that have never turned me away from the beach.
Well, I'm not a big fan of camping anymore either.
Yeah,
really.
Camping is the kind of thing, not that movies have really put me off it, but just it's kind of scary, and especially if you want to go in the Australian outback, because Australia is known for serial killers, so you know.
Yeah, well, you know, not only that, you guys have like the nine deadliest snakes in the world there and shit like that, too.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Wolf Creek is, you know, they based that on...
Is that based on reality?
It is based on a few different stories that have happened, but there's a famous thing called the Backpacker Murders, where a guy killed a lot of backpackers, and that kind of thing is like, well, when you go out, you know, maybe there's going to be some crazy guy in the outback going to kill you. But I've been in the middle of nowhere, and nothing happened. I saw a snake. It didn't come after me. I was okay, but I can't say I'm willing to go do it again. The only really cool thing was seeing the kangaroos out in the wild, and they're all jumping along. That was pretty cool, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like, word of advice, if you see, like, Crocodile Dundee's evil twin cousin, get the fuck out of there. That's kind of what that guy was. Well, I'll tell you one place that ruined it for me is I would never go anywhere near Texas, ever, 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 ever. I mean, you hear that song, God Bless Texas? Well, he blessed every part of Texas except for the place that Leatherface lives, because that was really fucked up. I mean, if that was me and we're driving, and first of all, I wouldn't pick up that dumb chick in the first fucking place. But if I pick up the chick, okay, great. Okay, we pick up. We'll be fucking nice. Okay, she's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Well, she's going to shoot herself in your backseat.
Hey, well, you know what? So the minute she fucking did that shit, I'd slam on the brakes. I'd throw that bitch the fuck out. I'd Winston Wolf the shit out of the backseat. Then I'd kick out the back window, and I would hit that fucking gas so goddamn hard, they'd hear my fucking tires squeaking like three state lines over. I'd get the fuck out of there and just never look back. Of course, this is all hypothetical, because I would actually never fucking drive in Texas because of that movie. Ever.
But that's like the remake. What about the original? The original guy was fucking retarded as well.
Original remake, part two, part three, that crazy one with Matthew McConaughey in it? I don't give a rat's ass. I'm just not going to Texas. Ever.
But, you know, aside from maybe the whole camping thing, nothing actually has really put me off much of anything. Maybe the only thing that still kind of freaks me out would be the whole aliens thing.
Again, that's like the ocean, right? But that's one of those things that we're not 100% sure on. They actually could be out there.
Well,
I mean, the whole fourth kind stuff could really happen. We don't really know.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, when I was younger, there was a movie that had Christopher Walken in it, and hardly anybody's heard of it. And it was called... It was an alien abduction movie. And I'm going to have to look up Christopher Walken because I cannot remember the name of this movie. But it starts off, and I think he's, like, in his house or something. And there's this alien coming towards him. And that used to freak me the fuck out. And as soon as I saw it, like, it was, like, 10 minutes in the movie. As soon as I saw it, I used to shit myself and I didn't want to watch it anymore. And then every time I'd go rent it for some reason because I had to see it again and again, even though I couldn't watch the bloody thing, I'd get through a little bit more. It's called Communion. That's the movie. It's a late 80s movie. And, you know, I'd make it through a little bit more and a little bit more, and it just used to scare me so much. And when I'd watch it, I could not sleep. I'd look out my window and swear that aliens were going to come and get me. It fucking, like, freaked me out. And I don't know if this was, like, I think it was based on a book, but I don't know if it was actually real, like someone based it on their real experiences or not. But then
what about Invasions from Mars? Invaders from Mars kind of freaked me out when I was a kid. Did you see that one?
Invaders from Mars, like the really old movie.
Yeah, they land and you don't see them, but then like it's like this field and everyone walks up and they go, like the dad gets taken first and they drill this thing into the back of your neck. Oh yeah, it was fucked up. But that wasn't the one. Like there was that other one, the one that came out in the '90s. Fuck, what was it called? It was like one of the first ones that was really like in your face. I don't remember.
I don't know. Like not that.
I can see the picture. The picture is like some dude in the woods, and he's looking up, and there's like a beam, and
the fire in the sky. Is that the one you mean? Where
yeah,
he's
fire
abducted,
in the sky.
And that was like based on supposed
fire
true
in the
events.
Sky.
And
that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Travis Walton thing. Yeah, that when I was a kid, that used to freak me out. But then when I watched it again, it just wasn't. Yeah.
Oh yeah, if you watch it now, you're like, hey,
like
whatever.
That's why I want to see this Communion again, because I don't think it's going to be as scary, but. These movies used to, like, fuck me up, and I used to think, oh my god, Alien's gonna come and get me. It's like, I wrote on my blog not so long ago, because I put up the trailer for The Fourth Kind, because I thought it looked really cool, was that
it does.
When I was younger, I was such an alien UFO nutcase that I used to think, oh my god, there's aliens and conspiracies and all this other crap. And that we used to get so into it. We used to watch all these movies and scare ourselves, and then we used to read, like, supposedly true things, and I try and watch, like, docos on these kinds of things, and I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't watch them at night. I had to watch them in the day, and even then it would, you
don't
know.
Don't watch documentaries.
You know, it would freak me the fuck out, and there's ones, you know, supposedly real aliens, and, you know it's a load of crap, but it used to just scare the shit out of me so bad. But,
oh, man,
you know,
I used to get freaked out by Robert Stack's voice in Unsolved Mysteries, when he'd be like, and these people were never found.
Oh, yeah.
They could be hiding in your house, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They're in my house?
And all that, you know, all
that
kind of weird
stuff.
Way
of saying it.
But, you know, now I'm like, you know, still it freaks me out, and I don't like, you know, when you're driving at night and you see weird lights in the sky, that always freaks me out, and it's like, thanks, all you fucking movies that did all this to me.
Well, I can't. I don't think I'm not good with cabins anymore either. Like, you know, the
oh,
whole
I'd love
dead,
to go to a cabin and just have Evil Dead happen, and I could be like Ash and just kick ass, and then, you know,
yeah,
have a chainsaw for a hand.
Yeah, so unless
cool.
You were one of the unfortunate other people in the movie.
Well, I'd be like Ash. I'd survive, but I'd be fucked up.
And then, like, I see stuff like The Descent. Like, I watched that and I thought that was very, very good. That was a freaky fucking movie. I mean, you know, exploring caves, like cave diving, that's something that I'd never do because you don't know what the fuck's down there.
Don't even
but,
get
I mean,
me started on that
movie
because I didn't find it scary. I was not a very big fan of
well,
that
it
movie.
Well, it wasn't scary. There was a few freaky parts, but I mean,
I
see
I've been
like,
in caves,
a sequel.
And they don't scare me.
Yeah,
I've been in very
know,
claustrophobic caves, like, you know, in a very small confined space where something could happen, and that didn't really scare me. And
well, I see that they're making
you know,
a sequel, and like I just know
well,
if I was
I
that
know.
Chick, that, like nothing would ever get me to go
well,
back in those caves.
If I was in that movie and that stupid chick took me down there, knowing that you know it wasn't it wasn't the cave that I was supposed to be in, I would have fucking kicked her ass, man.
Oh, for sure, she'd have been toast.
I would have,
like,
you know,
that,
she would
no,
have been dead.
No
she would have been
there.
Food for those cave thingy things. But I just found the characters were so
watching.
Irritating to me, and I was just like, fucking hell. Everyone's
well, I mean,
raving
you know.
About this movie, and all the hype just killed it, because I think if I had seen it without knowing anything about it, I probably would have liked it a lot more. But I just was like, yeah, this is good, but it's not winning me over kind of thing, and the whole cave thing didn't really freak me out. I said, I've been and done that kind of thing. And that didn't really scare me. And then they bring in these weird cave creature-y things. And I was just like, can you eat
well,
these bitches and shut up? They're fucking whining, please.
Well, the funny thing was like, that wasn't even the first movie for it. Like they had one that came out like 3 or 4 years before that. I think it was called The Cave. And it
oh,
had like
yeah,
a...
Yeah, I,
had,
I haven't seen it,
was,
but I know what you're talking about, though.
And I mean, it was the same. Like the main guy was the guy from not Chronicles of Riddick, but Pitch Black. He was like the guy that was pretending to be a cop, the mercenary guy. He was like the main dude. And they went down there, and there was like the fucking monsters were exactly, I mean exactly
oh, okay.
the same. But if they like cut you or touched you, you start to turn into one kind of deal. And that's what, like that's what the movie was about. But yeah, it was like totally kind of the same thing. Like so, when I saw the preview for the Descent, I was like, what the fuck? That seems kind of. But I mean, that's kind of that's Hollywood for you. Like you get one idea and they like make they five different versions of it.
It always happens. Like similar themed movies will come out at the same time.
Well, what really pisses me off is I don't understand how this happened, but like it offends me as a writer and as someone with more than half a fucking brain is the whole I'm working my ass off trying to get published and it's going well. I mean, I'm at the agent part right now, which is a tedious fucking ridiculous thing in itself. But I go and I see on the bookshelves, I see Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh,
I see Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters.
And Sea Monsters,
what?
Yeah.
What the fuck
is that, man?
Like, Jane Austen is rolling over in her grave right fucking now. I don't know how the hell anybody... First of all, it's ridiculous that someone would actually try and do that. Second of all, anybody that would actually buy that or actually, you know, say, hey, that's a good idea. Let's put that in publishing. I don't understand how that even happened. I mean, I look at that and I just shake my head and I'm like, yeah, that's the depressed world we live in today. Remakes, Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies... PG-13, it's getting very out of me. It's even happening in the music business. I mean, every second or third song I hear on the radio,
it's like
a remake of an 80s song.
It's they're mixing in 80s stuff or they're doing this and that, and it's like there's no originality left.
Is that what the world's come to? Like nobody has an original fucking idea anymore. It's very depressing to be honest with you.
For sure. That's it.
I don't know, yeah, cause it's one, and it's kind of hard to, I can kind of almost sum up, I keep trying to come up with a Hollywood raw ideas, but everything that bugs me about Hollywood can be summed up in remakes and PG-13 stuff.
Yeah. Well, we can put it this way, I don't think you're going to run out of ideas anytime soon, because there's always something to, bitch about with Hollywood, always. And there's, you always come up with, like, you know, every week, because I read it every week, and I've read it. I mean, I've read that thing since I can remember.
Well, that's why I jumped at the opportunity to get it, because that was always my favorite column.
Well, because, like, I've discovered the site, like, I think it was, like, 2001, which was basically, a year after it started, I think. And I discovered it through Arrow in the Head, because I was looking up horror for some reason. I was trying to find reviews on some movie, and that popped up, and I was like, oh, this is all pretty cool. And then I went to the main site, and then, you know, as they say, the rest is history, and I've been visiting there for fucking 8 years now. And that's one of the, you know, Come on Hollywood was one of the main things I used to really look forward to checking out every week, because it was, you know.
Well, me too. Like, when Sturdy was,
really
was,
cool.
doing, when Sturdy was yeah. doing it, I thought it was great. And then, I mean, I still talk to him now. Like, he started his own site, Netflix, and, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, it's another site that's, you know, just giving like all the movie news, but trying to put their own kind of slant on it to, you know, keep it original and whatever. But I mean, yeah, cool guy. But yeah, he definitely, we had a big long talk about the whole thing when he was giving it up. And then the minute I found out that he was leaving, I wrote to Burge and I was like, man, give me that. I want that. I want that column. And then him and Mike write back to me. They're like, well, we need a really strong voice. Give us two or three examples, and then we'll go from there. So I wrote them two or three examples. I sent them in, and then they gave it to me. And I was like, cool.
Well, I'd say you definitely are doing a good job of it now. So.
Well, it was one of those things. It was the only thing. I've been thinking up, like, forever. I've been trying to think of a cool gimmick to throw these guys so I could get on the Jublo movie show. But, I mean, when I was thinking of, like, columns and stuff, I thought to myself, I was like, well, you know, that column is the only one that mirrors what I write on my site. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, on my site, I don't really hold back. Like, my slant is the whole, I kind of swear a lot. But, I mean, you know, it's whatever. I don't trust somebody that doesn't swear. I mean, we all have vices.
Well, you should trust me really, swear, really well. I fucking
but if someone doesn't swear,
swear
they
much.
Freak me the fuck out. So, I mean, I definitely just kind of, like, throw everything at it. And, I mean, you know, it's funny because after you told me to put that thing on there, that counter thing.
Oh, yeah.
like I got to see how many people actually check it out a day, and it's really cool. And then like I think it's like 46 countries like in the world where I like there are fans from that keep coming back every day. Yeah. It was a really cool thing. I have a lot of fun when I go and I click on that from.
Yeah, I do that like once a week and just have a look at who's checking out my blog or how many hits I'm getting for the week and for the month. And
it's amazing how far you can track back to them.
Mm.
It's funny because you can track it all the way down to the actual internet company they use. Or like they
not
subscribe
that we're stalking
to
you people who look at our sites, but
I know, but then that's what it is. It's just funny that you can track it all the way back to each individual person, that far.
But I knew. That's something I knew that could happen when I go on websites. My IP address is going to be readily available where I am. That stuff's never really bothered me. It's not going to give my home address or phone number or anything like that. So.
Oh no, it didn't bother me. It was just kind of surprising at first. Mm. I didn't know.
Yeah.
That it went that far in depth.
Yeah, but part of the fun thing about, having your own site, having your own blog is just to put your opinions out there and, if people like it, good. If people don't like it, amazingly, they still come back for more.
Well, that was the thing. And, initially when I set it up, it was kind of I was thinking I want to use it as a tool just to kind of stay sharp. Mm. Whether I'm writing every day. I don't think I mentioned it yet, but I think I've told you before. I write psychological thriller, novels.
Yeah, you've told me, yes.
But I just wanted to make sure that every day I was writing
something.
You're
still writing, yeah.
Yeah, whether it's fucking around on the site or a review or a column or a chapter, I just wanted to make sure, it was just, to keep me sharp,
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, it just kind of grew, and then people started liking it. And, and that's the thing, too. It's once you realize people are actually looking at it, that's when, you actually think, okay, I'll keep doing it. Because for a while, you're like, well, am I the only one that, is anyone
Yeah, people don't leave
this?
Me comments. Are people actually looking at it? And then you look at the numbers like, oh, yeah, people are actually looking at it. And then...
Is anyone other than my mom and my best friend actually reading this?
But then I'd actually realize, I'd be getting comments elsewhere about the blog, on other websites or through email or through Twitter
else. You've got it lined up pretty good, especially in, through Jobo and in the back end in the Movie Fan Central.
Well, there you go.
I really like their Movie Fan Central part.
That's
it's
a lot
fun
of fun
to play around.
It's good, yeah.
I mean, I go in and I read a lot. I've befriended a pile of people. I'll go in and I'll read their stuff. I'll read their reviews. A lot of these people write nice reviews for movies. And then I comment here and there on things, or I comment on pictures. It's pretty good. And that's a cool thing. Joblo and Arrow are pretty laid back when it comes to a lot of that stuff. There's a lot of things that I respect them for being able to, for making a site that isn't, they always push the envelope.
Yeah.
Arrow's funny because he'll say anything. That's what's hilarious about him. He pushes the envelope to the next level. But I like the fact that these guys have created something that doesn't have boundaries for the most part. Yes, there are definitely going to be boundaries somewhat. But for the most part, the sky's the limit. You can put your opinion. Doesn't matter how many fucks are in the sentence or whatever the case may be. I like the fact that they've created this world where everybody can kind of be themselves, speak their mind to the point that they really want to speak it within reason.
Yeah.
And you don't get that anywhere else. That's a lot of sites
without
don't let you put
anyway.
In input.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's the reason that I like working for those guys. And even the reviews. The reviews that we do for movies, Burge makes it absolutely clear that he wants it to be our opinion. It doesn't matter if our opinion matches what everyone else's opinion is. It doesn't matter if our opinions match what the Oscars think.
You don't want all the same opinions. You need things that are going to be different. And that's what it offers as well.
The rough thing that I've found about reviews, on review sites lately, is that over the last couple of years, everybody's gotten pretty...
generic?
I guess pretty mean. Well, not even generic. Good. Mean. No one likes anything these days. And they just take it... everyone focuses on the bad things. I'll put it that way.
It's too easy to focus on the bad things.
That's yeah, I mean, why. No one actually tries to see the good in anything. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are shitty movies that come along that, you know, you can't help but tear it a new ass because it's so fucking bad. But, I mean, a lot of people, I find, don't, like, on other sites and, like, in general, a lot of times they don't try to see the good. They just see whatever the bad is, and that's what they talk about only.
Yeah.
Like, it's good to, like, you know, mention the bad, but mention the good, too. I mean, that's what I try and do.
Yeah, well, if I see something, I'm going to mention what I like, what I don't like, what I think works, what doesn't work. If I don't like something, I'm going to tell you I don't like it. I don't normally sugarcoat things, and if I like something, I'm going to praise it. And if you don't like that, fair enough, you can tell me why. I just don't like it when I go, oh, that's shit. Well, why the fuck is it shit for? Tell me. If I say something's shit, I'm going to say why it's shit. Like, if I'm looking at a story and I go, oh, yeah, well, that's pretty cool, I'll say why I think it's cool. Like, if I got time to actually write a few things, I'm going to write. I'm just going to say, this is shit, or you can't write for shit. I'm going to tell you why. Or I'm going to say, you know, this is pretty cool, and this is why.
Not just saying it for the sake of saying it.
You know, like...
Actually, I'll tell you...
It's
the funnest thing that I actually do... The funnest thing that I actually do over there is... honestly, is the comic strips.
Oh yeah,
I love writing those. I think they're. I know a lot of. Like, I recall a lot of things about movies. So I mean, and I've got a good movie memory. Sick enough sense of humor. Yeah. And I got a sick enough sense of humor that I'll just take like classic scenes and I'll just think to myself. I mean, I just got to really ask myself. I'm like, wouldn't that? How would that be funny? You know, if I rearranged a few things here, and then I just kind of like wander with it and play around with it and. And it's funny, like, making the ones with Joe Blow and Arrow in it are very, very easy, too, because, I mean, because these guys are established characters, and I just kind of place them, I think of a gimmick from a movie. This week's, actually, is a Joe Blow and Arrow one, and it's them with the guy from The Box, like Frank Langella's character. So it's Joe Blow and Arrow, and, like, on one side of a table, and that dude on one side, and, like, the button thing in the middle, and that's what it's a strip about that. But I mean, so I just and like the one from The Ring. I just take a movie, I take a theme, something that I can throw those guys into, and then just try and make it funny.
Well, I like the Dexter one, but that's because I love Dexter, and I just thought that was pretty funny.
Hey, I had to make one with Dexter because you know what? I love Dexter too. That's one of my favorite shows on TV.
Good.
And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm racking my brain. I'm like, how the fuck can I fit Dexter in there? Because I'm like, because Dexter isn't movies. So I'm, how can I make a movie situation? But I'm like. Yui Ball, I could use him. Fuck yeah, sure, why not?
Well, he's an easy target.
He really is.
And he always will be.
Well, after his whole internet spiel where he made that thing about the... Like, you watch that and you're like, what? But I mean, well, the joke for the actual thing wasn't just cutting up Yui Ball. I mean, the joke was... About that thing, that, I mean, you know that thing that happened a while back where he was making that movie and... The catch was he wanted everyone to donate $49, and then you'd be a movie producer, and he'd send you an autographed DVD of it and stuff, and it's like, oh my god, and you read it and you're like, this isn't serious, he's not serious, this is a joke, it's a joke, but he had like an actual website like dedicated to it, and I couldn't help it, like I'm reading it, and he's sitting there, and this is how he describes it. It's an action flick with and he mentioned the guy's name. I forget it offhand. He's like, you'll know him from. He's been in various movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's like, first of all, who the fuck says that? I mean, that's just a stupid thing to say. But the worst part is he hasn't been in movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, he had the picture of this actor was a picture from Gladiator. And he was like the guy Ralph or Ralph something, and like he was in Gladiator. He was a humongous motherfucker.
Yeah,
he was in Best of the Best too.
He was in
Brachus.
Yeah, he's I watched him like the other day in Universal Soldier. He doesn't talk in it, but
exactly,
he's in
he's in Universal Soldier as well.
Yeah.
Ralph Muller. The funny thing is, yeah, he wasn't in anything with those.
He played like a Conan thing in a TV show or some shit.
Right, and but what Yui Bull was actually the actor he was thinking about was this other actor who's been in piles of movies. He was in The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He played that bodyguard. He was in Conan with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He played one of those main guys that was actually trying to kill him the whole time. And I think, like, he mixed them up. Like, that was the hilarious thing about it is he's completely mixing up the actors, and he wants us to pay for it. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Are
actually,
you fucking serious?
Actually, you know what? He was in a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He played a guard in Batman and Robin.
And yeah, I don't think Batman and Robin was one of the ones that was what mentioned.
Yeah, that doesn't really count. So.
That's hilarious.
I did quickly go on the Internet Movie Database. I was trying to think of his name. Ralph Mueller. I can't pronounce it.
Ralph Mueller.
But I know who you mean because he was a Unisol, and I watched that like the other day.
I love Universal. I love the first one. I'm still on the fence about the new one. But
I don't care. I'm dying to see it. Like it's Van Damme and Dolph again. I don't care if it's like so shit and it doesn't make sense. I'm just gonna wet my pants to it.
Those guys are back together. I think it'll be worth seeing.
Because it's no secret that I love Van Damme, and I know that he's not like the most well loved person, but I love him. I'd marry him tomorrow. Easy.
Well, I mean, when I came into action movies, one of the first action movies I ever saw, like, was back when Rambo and then, like, Cobra and all those things come out. But, I mean, when I got older and started really getting into it, I mean, I was a teenager during the whole Van Damme and Steven Seagal reign, you know what I mean? Mm. So those guys were fucking gods to me. I mean,
I
still can't believe...
watching Van Damme, when I was young, we would be watching Van Damme movies. Van Damme movies, and then there might be, you know, the old, like, you know, some Arnie movies and some Sylvester Stallone movies, but it was always Van Damme. So, you know, he's been stuck in my head since I was a kid.
I saw everything.
But,
everything
you know,
that
I mean, we still, like, would watch Steven Seagal, but he didn't have the same effect on me that Van Damme did. Like,
I loved Seagal just because he like, broke everybody's shit. Like, he'd break your arm and break your leg. He had to break bones, and I loved that shit. But then, like, you know, I remember watching one of his latest movies. It was called something about Dark. The word Dark
was
in it.
The vampire one?
Yes, where it was supposed to be vampires. And I'm watching it, and it's showing the same fucking footage of Steven Seagal walking the whole fucking time. His super jacked buddy is the one that kicked everybody's ass, and the girls were just there because they had, like, big titties, and they were, like, kind of half out, but they both fucking died. And then Steven Seagal, he killed one fucking guy and said one gay line, and then he's not in it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, wow.
Against
I'm trying
the
to say a prayer.
That's what it is.
Well, I'm sitting there, like, whispering a silent prayer for him and Keith, what's his name? The black guy in it. David Keith, or Keith David. Like, I'm sitting there saying
David,
a prayer for both
their
careers.
Yeah.
I mean, I love him. Like, I'm thinking, like, has it really come to this, guys? Like, this is the kind of bullshit that you're in? Like, especially Keith David. He should be able to do better than that.
I haven't seen a lot of, his later movies, Steven Seagal, but I don't know. He doesn't really do it for me anymore.
Trust me.
The older ones
are
so much better.
I fell off that bandwagon a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, like...
It's one of those things where...
Under Siege and stuff like that are awesome, but...
Well, his latest movies are, like, are fodder for Jason Adams' awfully good movies.
Yeah,
his
but
awfully good
I can...
Thing.
I like Van Damme's direct-to-DVD stuff. Call me crazy.
Yeah, some of it's okay. I watched that one From Hell... That wasn't too bad. I remember when that first came out, I watched that. I mean, I really enjoyed his like life story one.
Yeah. Oh, that was amazing.
I couldn't believe like that he didn't that he wouldn't sign up to do Expendables. So, I really think he should.
I think what the problem might have been there was that I think
he
had just started
a solid character.
Well, I think that. He had just, like, gone into his production company and he was doing all that kind of other stuff, but I think he wanted something with a bit more substance as well, and he said no.
Yeah, he wanted something a little more tangible and, like, I mean, I get it. I mean, because you look at the trailer and, you know, it looked good, don't get me wrong, but in the back of my mind, I'm wincing going, you know, are some of these guys going to just die halfway through? Like is some of it going to be a cameo? Like, I mean, you can't give everybody the amount of screen time that's needed, and I think... I mean, I think Sly's going to get his screen time, and Jason Statham's going to get his screen time, and, you know, it just looks iffy for everybody else, you know what I mean? You don't know how much, and there are so many big names and good people in it.
I just think it's going to be a lot of fun.
As long as it's not PG-13.
I just want to go in there, watch the fucking movie, and just have a good time. If I hate it, I hate it, but I don't know how I'm going to hate it. I'm sure there's going to be something awesome about it.
Nostalgia alone is great.
Well, they like teasing this whole Jet Li and Dolph fight, and I'm just like, oh, fuck yes.
I know. That should be interesting. Well, this week, I mean, the next DVD I'm getting to review for Joe Blow is the Rocky. It's a Rocky Blu-ray set of all the movies, the Ultimate Collection.
Nice.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I mean, I could write the review for it right now. I can't wait to watch them
all. That should
be
awesome.
On Blu-ray.
Just sit and watch them all, man.
I mean, well, the only two that are kind of fuzzy for me are the first two. I mean, from three on, I could easy. But I mean,
the one I've seen the most is the first one.
Really? The one I've seen the most is the third one. The whole Eye of the Tiger thing. Like, when that song comes on, I just like my
Mr. T and Hulk Hogan in it. So.
Exactly. Yeah, the whole Hulk Hogan thing is, it could have did without Hulk Hogan in it, but I mean,
Hulk Hogan doesn't belong in movies to start with.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, man, it's going to be interesting, he's touring Australia, and I'm going to his show in a week and a half. I mean, it's...
Yeah, is that what you were saying? Because you were kind of saying something like that earlier.
I was just, when you mentioned wrestling, because I like wrestling, I don't hide the fact that I like wrestling. If you go on my Facebook page, you can see photos of me with wrestlers that I've met and pictures from shows and stuff.
Well, I've met Trish Stratus too. I had a silent crush on Trish Stratus too.
I think everyone had a crush on her, and I met her and I was just like, oh my god.
Well, I saw she got married to some chump, and I'm like, what the fuck? I still remember the first Hulk Hogan. I remember going to see in theaters No Holds Barred.
Oh my god, I got that recently. Like, I found a copy of it, and it's so fucking bad, man.
Oh my god, so did I. When we're talking about ordering shit off eBay, I ordered that because in my mind, I remember it from when I was a kid. And
I remember
that was the
it
best
being
fucking
shit.
Thing ever.
And I was like,
oh,
was it really that shit? And I watched it again, and I was like, oh my god, this is so awesomely shit.
Oh, and that's what happened, because I put it in the DVD player, and I'm thinking to myself, is this really going to be, how bad is this? No, it can't be that bad. Oh, it is. he's got the limo guy. I turned it off, I think it was 15, 20 minutes in, when he grabs some limo driver, and the guy's he says he shit his pants, but he says duty or something, and I'm like, and then Hulk Hogan says it again, and I'm like, No. I feel my brain kind of starting to fry up here. It's not going well. I got to turn the shit off. I don't mind a little cheese from time
so
to time,
bad.
But I mean, come on.
It's awfully good bad.
Yeah, it definitely, I think
He's been on there.
His awfully good picture has that.
Yeah, it's been on there. man, but he's just this weird-ass character, Hulk Hogan himself, I mean, he's a weird-ass character, he doesn't really belong in movies.
He seems it.
But the thing,
well,
I'm
he
like,
just seems...
I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to be like in the flesh.
I'm sure it's going to be,
and
it'll be...
I think he's supposedly, having a match, and it's, I mean, the man cannot move, it's going to be, the most awesomely bad train wreck ever.
Well, I watched some of that whole Hogan Knows Best when it first came on.
Oh, I saw a little bit of it, and he did, celebrity wrestling, and...
Yeah, and, I mean, a couple of them were laugh out loud a little bit, but at the same time, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't understand the process behind these things, because, you know, you see a show like that, when they know they're being
I hate
taped,
reality TV, so...
Yeah, I mean, you know, they try and say all this witty shit, and you're just kind of like, seriously?
Yeah. Really? Yeah,
but I mean, so it's kind of it takes away from it. I don't like that kind of TV either. Then I watched a couple of episodes. I noticed it quickly turned into Brooke Knows Best, and I'm like, what the fuck is that shit? But then I just but she's kind of hot, so I was like, yeah, I'll watch an episode. And then she's going to a what the hell was it? It was like a bar where it was like a suds thing or like a bubble thing where everyone was like got like wet t-shirts. I'm like, okay, I can watch this. I can watch this episode. This looks good. This looks good. And then him and his fat buddy go and wreck it. And I was like, okay. The guy from the Nasty Boys?
Yeah. I think, yeah, he's actually coming on the tour as well.
Yeah, well, it seems like those guys are, like, attached to the hip or something.
This is like a wrestling has-beens kind of thing, and it's just going to be, like, this awesomely bad thing. Like, it's going to be like watching a bad movie, but a bad movie that's so bad that it's fucking awesome. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Everyone will go nuts.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, as I said, I like wrestling. I'm not ashamed to admit I like wrestling. It's like I said, it's like a bad movie that's really awesome. So,
well, we have, like, illegal satellite. Oops. So, I mean, all the pay-per-views are on for free.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't really watch wrestling anymore, but I'll watch the pay-per-views, like, if I'm there. Because they're usually going on a Sunday, right? So if I'm just fucking around and just looking, I'll sit down, and if I see that it's on, I'll have a couple of drinks and I'll watch it, and, you know, it's entertaining. I mean, I like John Cena, too. I think John Cena is awesome. He's a great performer.
He's a very nice guy. I've met him quite a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
No, he seems like a genuinely nice fucking guy.
He is actually, like, I don't know, other people might have not had a good experience, but every time I've met him, he's been generally, you know, he's a nice guy. He wants to meet his fans. He doesn't really shy away from it. The only time he might is if he's eating, but that's with anyone. Like, fuck off when you're eating.
No one wants.
But, you know, he'll like come up.
No one wants you in their face when they're trying to.
Yeah, he'll come up, shake your hand, you know, talk to you, and, you know, if you're nice and you're not going to act like a weird stalker person, he's going to talk to you.
It's a piece of your hair. Okay, interview's over. See you later.
But, you know, I've got up close and personal with him. He's had his arm around me. I've got to smell how, you know, good he smells. But then again, I got to smell.
Yeah, I saw how he smells.
You know, I got to smell how good he smells. I smelled him, and he didn't smell bad.
I haven't met any wrestlers, but I've met a lot of movie stars. Like, one of the guys, like, I met Bruce Willis. That was fun. I met Johnny. Like, I met a lot of them in Toronto at the film festival.
Oh, okay.
And I had a good night where I sat down and actually talked to Michael Keaton and his son one night. That was actually really fun.
Batman.
I mean, I was talking to him. Well, and that's what I said. I was like, man, you're a cool Batman. And he said something to me which I think is complete fucking bullshit. I understand why he said it, but I don't buy it for a second. I was like, so what do you think of Christian Bale's Batman? He's like, oh, I've never seen it. I'm thinking, you fucking liar. You fucking seen it. You fucking lie. You lie. Bullshit. But then we started talking about TV because he was filming some kind of new series, some FBI drama. And then he was telling me he was a fan of Prison Break. Of course, that was back when there was only a couple seasons. And I loved Prison Break until the last season, which was complete garbage. But it was cool. Like, his son, because his son was a little around my age, and we just sat and talked and shoot the shit for a little while. Yeah, just very, very cool people.
Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself. Try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
I was very embarrassed though when I met I met Till Schweiger, and I forgot his name.
Oh no.
So I said to him, and I felt bad because it was a very surreal experience because it was right not too long after King Arthur came out, and I really loved that movie. Like, I love that. I love those
actually,
epic.
Actually, I didn't mind that movie. Like that. A lot of people didn't like it, but I thought it was alright. I didn't have a problem with that movie.
I fucking loved it. I also think Keira Knightley is really hot too. But I really like I loved it. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay. Fuck, what is his name? And this is what I end up saying to him. I'm like, are you the guy from King Arthur? And it made me feel so much worse because he looked at me and he's like, yes, I am that guy.
Well, now he's going to be, are you that guy from Inglourious Bastards?
Exactly. So I'm just like, oh, fuck. It's like, it sounded bad, but like, you could tell that he kind of was like a little bit hurt that I didn't know what his name was. But then after that whole thing, we started talking after that, and it blew over, and I took a picture with him, and we chatted. But I felt so bad. But I mean, yeah, he had a weird name. And I mean, I just couldn't remember it at the time. He was just kind of getting popular at the time. Like, this was like probably 6 years ago.
Did that movie come out? Like 2004, so.
Oh yeah, I think it was like probably a year or two after that movie came out that I met him.
Mm.
Yeah, long before Inglourious Basterds. I was pretty pissed at that too, because I thought more or less he was like the coolest character, and I mean I thought he was like pretty much he was like the coolest character in that movie, and then but like he died. I thought that was pretty gay.
Yeah, I haven't seen it for a while. Actually, now that you're talking about it, I probably have to go back and watch it again.
Yeah,
well, they're now talking about him. I want to watch fucking Inglourious Basterds again.
I mean, I like Quentin Tarantino a lot. I mean, but it's kind of like he's at that point now where if it's by Quentin Tarantino, everyone thinks it's going to be super awesome. So it kind of takes the edge off, like creativity wise. I didn't like. I mean, because I had to review. Oh God, I had to review the original Inglourious Basterds.
Mm.
That was rough. It was a rough 2 hours. Let me tell you, it was fucking bad. And I was a little disappointed when I went to see Inglourious Basterds, the one in theaters, the newest one, because I had heard that the synopsis was these guys are on their way to be court-martialed or maybe put to death, and then their whole platoon gets wiped out by the Germans, so they like pretty much the plot of the original one.
It's like but nothing I thought like that was at all.
Yeah, it was like, so I went in thinking that was the plot of that one, so I'm sitting there kind of a little confused at first, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? I don't see this all happening. It was okay, but I didn't think that it was like the best movie of the summer by any stretch.
Oh, it's like my favorite movie of the year. I fucking loved it so much. I went in there.
The Alien one?
District 9?
Yes.
Yes, I did. But what I did, because that movie was getting so hyped up, just like Bastards, and I'm like, fuck, I'm not letting hype ruining anything. I'm just like, I'm going to go see District 9. I'm going to go on the opening day. I'm going to go to the earliest session I can go to. I'm not going to think about anything. I'm just going to watch this fucking movie. And going in like that, it made it so much
better.
That's
how I went into G.I. Joe.
And I thought it was such a great, unique movie. It was.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I try and do the same thing, because, I mean, as you can imagine, working for Joe Blow, right, I mean, we're top shelf with all the hype for everything, because I'm following it from, like, post-production to pre-production.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm kind of, it sucks sometimes, because whatever movie that comes out has been so hyped up that, you know, we go into it wondering, because we know every fucking tidbit, because every piece of news that comes out on it is reported by somebody. And, I mean, I read it. I read everybody's articles. That's the kind of funny thing about Joe Blow's. I know that we all read each other's articles, but no one ever really posts any comments on each other's articles. It's funny, because, like, I know we read them. I know everybody reads everybody's shit, but nobody ever says anything.
And when I feel like commenting, I'll leave a comment, because, you know, you guys have put in the work to, you know, to write the thing. The least I can do is give you some feedback and, you know, give
and
you
I
some
think
support.
That too.
And that's why, you know, you'll probably see my name on there a lot with comments.
Oh, I've seen it on there before, for sure.
You know.
But I was never really that guy. I never wanted to be that guy that, like, was throwing my 2 cents in there with everybody else. Just because, don't get me wrong, I mean, And I know it's kind of a catch-22, because I agree with what you're saying. If it's written well, then yeah, it's nice to hear someone say. And I mean, and I know how nice it feels. I mean, to hear someone say that it was written well and it was good and they liked it. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to be put in that category with a bunch of people who aren't part of the problem and not the solution, I guess. Because, I mean, a lot of people just kind of talk out of their ass on there. Mm. And, I mean, whether you're saying good or bad, I mean, I know some people shy away from the whole thing because they just don't want to be part of that. Whereas other people, I mean, just, you know, are proud to say their opinion. And a lot of them are even brave, because a lot of them will say their opinion even if they know that it's not the opinion of most people. Like, I've seen somebody, like, I think it was last week, I saw somebody, I think it was something that had to do with Twilight, and a guy wrote in that it wasn't that bad or it was this or that. And then the minute he wrote that in, holy fuck,
well,
everybody tore him to pieces.
You know what was really funny? Like, on the main site, there was something about Twilight, and I wrote some, you know, I was trashing Twilight, basically. And I look back, and I've got, like, you know how you've got the little thumbs up and thumbs down, and I've got, like, all these thumbs down. And then I go and say the same thing on a similar story at Aaron the Head, and I've got thumbs up. So you can see the different crowd from the different sections.
There's,
so
there's definitely... Aaron's got his crew,
and
Joe Blow has his crew. Like, but, I mean,
like I said,
it's the same thing, but... It's funny.
But I just, you know, because when you put in the work and effort, I mean, it's nice to get some kind of feedback. And that's
well,
why I like,
people,
you know,
though,
leaving...
they skip that and they'll just do the thumbs up or thumbs down.
But, you know, I like
they,
to, you know, show, you know, show people support and say, you know, I read what you've written and I liked it or, you know, this and that. But I still like to, you know, at least leave some kind of comment. At least, you know, somebody's looking and someone's enjoying it.
Right. Well, some people like to argue, too. Know. I mean, I've even seen, like, on the Come On Hollywoods, I mean, I never, personally, I know, I've seen some of the writers respond. Well, I've seen some of the writers respond to people that say things.
They
personally,
say things
I don't.
To get, people say things on purpose
a lot of people,
to get a response.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I don't believe in giving people that. I mean, I don't respond, like, if you have your opinion and that opinion happens to be, fuck you, John, you die, you fucking suck, okay, whatever, that's your opinion, but I'm not going to write in and feed the fire.
Yeah.
However, though, I've seen other people write in for me and say, no, and, like, I've seen battles go on for, like, 8 posts.
Yeah, well, I remember, like, some idiot took some shot at you, and I'm just like... Have you even seen what he looks like, you dumbass?
Oh my god, I remember that. Because it was,
like,
was the Megan Fox one.
You know, blah, blah, blah. You got no
some
dudes
like,
that. I can't remember what he said.
Some dude says, like, what is
you're
he?
Like
what
some loser
write?
And
he's like,
can't get a
yeah,
girlfriend or something. I can't
yeah, yeah, exactly. He's like, yeah, that's really harsh coming from some, fat internet loser who can't get a girl under 300 pounds or something. And I'm looking at this going... What the fuck? I'm like, fuck you, buddy. Like, okay, like, my picture's on the goddamn thing. Like, yeah, okay, whatever.
I just thought
but,
that
I
was
mean,
so ridiculous.
I laughed at it, but I was just kind of like, I was like, man, this guy really likes Megan Fox. He's really going to bat for her.
It was just
holy
so
fuck,
funny, and
really...
it's like, oh, man, I just got to, like, reply to this guy.
Oh, trust
it
me,
just,
I read
it's
that
so
one
so
two
funny.
Or three times, shaking my head going, what the fuck is going on here? Yeah, well, that's the thing. When you say something that someone disagrees with, a lot of these guys they'll go on and on and on, and they'll write a big fucking like resume, like a whole like paragraph after paragraph, and like just every little point, like saying how much they love whatever it was you were cutting up, and they'll cut you up a little bit every time.
Yeah.
It'll just get worse and worse as it goes down the fucking thing. But, oh yeah, these guys, some of these guys, they don't play around. It's hilarious.
It is. It is really funny. And I know that your favorite comments to read are always mine because I'm kissing your ass.
Well, you got to love those ones, right? Well, the good thing is, too, a lot of people who don't comment will email me. I get a lot of emails, and I mean, you know, and they'll say, you know, and it's mostly good emails. But I mean, the other good thing about, especially about Come On Hollywood, is like the people that have actually read it that I wasn't really sure of. Like, I mean, I've talked back and forth to Derek Mayers, and that was a very big surprise that then he added me on Facebook, and I've chatted with him 2 or 3 times. Like, he talked to me about how pumped he is for Predators, and like it was very, very cool. It was a very, very cool thing to have happen. And then when Lauren Avedon actually wrote in, and then he wrote to me, and him and I write back and forth. Then I talked to a few other old martial artists from like Cynthia Rothrock and a few other people, and that was cool. And then when when Justin Marks wrote to me after reading that, oh, that was hilarious. I couldn't believe that. He writes to me, and his pretty much his email was like, "Hey man, I read your Come On Hollywood this morning, and it really made my day because, like I said, his scripts were really good because they were. Well, Grayskull was good. Yeah, let me elaborate there. Grayskull was good, and the Voltron one were really good. And he's like, it really made my day. He's like, you know, hopefully maybe someday those movies will get made. And at the bottom it says, P.S. Sorry about Street Fighter. Oh my god, I laughed my fucking ass off.
That's
I said
the best.
That shit to, Oh, I sent it to Mike and Arrow and Burge, and they're all laughing their ass off too. Like, it was just priceless. But I mean, that was the cool thing. And then other than that, I had one of my comic strips, the George Lucas one that I wrote, is going to be in the an upcoming movie, The People vs. George Lucas. The director wrote to me, and he's like, man, that was hilarious. Loved it. We're gonna put it in there. I'm gonna put your name in the credits. I don't get any money for it, but my name's going to be in the credits anyway. The movie. Exactly. That was kind of cool.
You might be able to get you noticed, maybe.
Well, it's cool that, you know, you never know who's reading it. You never know who's watching. Mm. Like, it's interesting that way. I mean, JoeBlow.com is a very mainstream, a lot more mainstream than people think it is. Like, one of my girlfriend's friends, who is also a writer, and she's actually working in Montreal, works for one of the radio stations and does some stuff with news and whatever. But journalist is what I actually was trying to say. And I mentioned something to her about JoeBlow.com, and she's like, she didn't know what it was. But then she was watching the news, CNN or something, and they had there was something on the news about, I forget what the it was about a scandal in Iron Man 2, and then JoeBlow.com was mentioned. I think actually Eamon might have been on there too, but I don't remember. But anyway, so she wrote on my wall of Facebook, she's like, okay, now I know what JoeBlow.com is. That's actually pretty cool. And I'm like, oh, now it's cool. Now that you saw it on TV, fucker.
Oh, it's on now TV. It's cool. Now it's cool.
Yeah. Now you don't think I work for a porn site. Okay, I got it.
Well, we know that you work for a porn site on the side.
Exactly.
No,
exactly. Don't tell anybody. I've got a good reputation to uphold here. I mean, can everyone know that? It's just funny because my mom, for the longest time, thought I worked for a porn site. And, like, I kept kind of she's not very good with internet and stuff like that. And then, you know, trying to explain it to her. And,
My mom is so cool. She actually signed up and follows Joe Blow and Aaron Head on her Facebook. She's in her 60s and she goes and supports them.
Well, I had to actually spell it out for them. I went to their house and pulled it up and said, "This is what it is, and this is how you do it." So, you know, she goes on there and she'll read my column, and or she reads a few things, and she doesn't ever comment on it. But I mean, sometimes she'll say something on my Facebook page. Oh, you know, yeah. I liked it or I like this, and
yeah.
But I mean, I know she doesn't like it. It's one of those things where if people aren't into movies and they don't follow movies, they're not going to get sites like that. You know what I mean? Like, they just get it. You know what I mean? That's pretty much the biggest thing. Like, even my girlfriend, half the shit that I'm writing, like, she has no idea what I'm talking about. I'll write these comic strips, and just totally over her head. Like, has no idea. Not because she's stupid, she just has no fucking clue what I'm talking about.
Well, it's not something that she's into.
Exactly. I mean, she reads some site, some celebrity site. Fuck, I forget what it's called, but just like celebrity gossip and bullshit like that. She's into that kind of stuff.
Like Paris Hilton and D-listed and...
Yeah, and not that she likes these people, but, you know, if you ask her questions
But she just automatically might know that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, she'd be able to answer any question on what Jennifer Aniston's up to or what Brad Pitt, Angelina's marriage is all about. She can answer any of that shit, but if you ask her
on the gossip movie, side...
Oh, except for Bridget Jones. That was like where that Bridget Jones joke came from, because she's like obsessed with Bridget Jones for some reason. I don't know why, but is.
Yeah, it's just how things work. Like, I mean, even like just in movies in general, everyone's got different tastes. Like, I hardly know anybody that likes horror. So I'm like,
really?
I'm like on my own, and like even my boyfriend, the only horror he likes is vampire stuff. There's nothing wrong with that because I love vampire stuff. But if I want to go see something that's like,
but there's a lot more to horror than vampires.
Yeah, but if I want to go watch like, you know, some slasher movie or some fucking zombie movie, he'd be, you know, not all that into it and that kind of thing. And then, you know, I'll be struggling to find someone who might want to go see a movie with me. And then half the time I got to go on my own, or you know, it's like a movie night for one. So, because it's not really an easy genre to, for, you know, a lot of people that actually really like it hardcore like I do, I guess.
Well, I know what you're saying. I remember my girlfriend's cousin, she wanted like, my girlfriend asked me as a favor to hang out with her retired cousin and her douchebag boyfriend, and I was like, okay. So we went out, and I thought, you know what, you know, you bring enough booze, anybody, you can get through 2 or 3 hours with anybody. So we go to the movie store, they want to get a movie and have some drinks, and so it's me and him, and we're looking through a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, I don't remember what it was, but I pointed out something that was horror anyway. I was like, yeah, let's get that. And he's like, he looks at me, he's like, no, he's like, I don't like horror movies. And I was like, and I thought he was joking, so I started laughing. I'm like, yeah, okay, later, let's get this. And he's like, no, I don't, they really scare me. And I'm like, whoa, okay.
Oh,
don't bump your vagina on the way over to the kids section there, buddy. I'll meet you over there. Needless to say, we ended up getting something that wasn't really that good. Because, yeah, exactly.
Oh, I could say,
after that, there was no respect for that people, and there was never a second double date. We'll put it that way.
Like, even my mom, she will give horror movies a shot, even though she doesn't particularly like them. Like, one day, I think she wanted to go to the movies, and she didn't know what it was, and she ended up seeing Resident Evil.
Ooh,
and despite the fact she thought it was disgusting and everything, she still, like, I think, watched it again later. And she got me a copy. She's like, oh, you'd like this. And she even, like, she managed to track down, like, Last House on the Left and I Spit on Your Grave, and she actually watched them and liked them.
Nice. Yeah,
I think it's the whole revenge thing that she liked.
My mom, who sees even a splash of blood, or like even someone even says the word blood, and she like, oh, covers her eyes.
I gotta give my mom props. She has the balls sometimes to watch something that she might not normally watch.
Well, I'll tell you, I had to review Last House on the Left, the remake, and that was pretty rough. That rape scene was a little
that was quite fun.
Yeah, they kind of dragged that on a bit, and they really, like, put it to you this way, you had no problem hating the bad guys.
Oh, no, not at all. But
delivered that in spades.
But the thing was, like, that scene, like, it is rough to watch, and it is a bit longer than you'd want, but I Spit on Your Grave has, like, 40 minutes of that with 4 different guys. And that's the difference between now and then, is you could get away with a lot more back then. Not so
well,
used to seeing that kind
then.
Of stuff now.
Yeah. Watch any Rob Zombie movie and you'll be re-immersed into that real quick.
Oh, well,
I remember like when I sat down to watch House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah, well, that's why I loved it. It was like so raw and so had that feel of the 70s.
I love Devil's Rejects, but House of a Thousand Corpses was a little fucked up.
Oh, I loved it for just how fucked it was, man.
And that's what I mean, but I mean, I don't mind fucked. I can deal with
it
that.
It was just so different,
I mean,
and...
like. Weird that doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, I know he was kind of playing around. It was his first
one,
so I kind of, you know, took it with a grain of salt.
Some stuff was just retardedly stupid, but I just thought it was great. For me, it was
And I mean, a lot of people cut him up for Halloween. I didn't see the second one yet. I
haven't seen
it
either, but I liked
it. But I really liked the first one.
I liked it. A lot of people hated it, and I'm just like, but, you know, I liked the whole beginning thing, and I liked
when he did
his
own thing.
Well, it
was easy to like, though, because I was never a big Michael Myers fan.
Oh, I love
mean,
the
there's
original,
only so much you can do with like linear characters like that. Like, I like guys that wear masks and don't say anything. I mean, like, because people make fun of them. Like, people make fun of Jason and Michael Myers, and like, you know. But what the fuck do you expect? These are two-dimensional characters that wear masks and have no fucking dialogue.
Well, he tried
like,
to
all they
give
do
it...
is kill. What do you expect from them?
Yeah, well, he.
I mean,
he tried
I think
to give
they...
it substance at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, there's,
with
there's
the
not
whole
much...
background.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly. And when he did that. He gave Michael Myers a bit more of a persona. And, I mean, that was better than just a guy who says nothing. But then some people would argue that. Some people say the mystique is in the whole guy that says nothing thing.
Yeah, but
I mean, you know,
liked how he handled it. And, you know, the more I accepted
I think
you know,
did,
he's
I think
doing
he well.
His own thing. Why not? He's not... But then, like, you know, he did kind of have to go in the remake territory, and that's where the movie kind of let me down a little bit. But that's why I was kind of interested to see the second one, just because... It was more of he's doing his own thing, and I'm really interested to see his cut of it. So when that comes
out,
I'll
me too. Like, that's another
that
reason
out.
Too. Like I mean, I saw it in theaters, but then I heard that he was doing a you know a revamped version for when it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray. So I was like, you know what? Why not? I'll just wait. Like I don't mind. It's not something I have to really see. But so I'll wait and see it when it's like him in like all his dastardly glory.
But that's the thing.
But I mean, I was always a big fan of Rob Zombie. I loved, like, White Zombie, the music.
Mm.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. So, like, when I heard that he was going over into movies, yeah, you know, really I kind of figured the first two. I figured the first two might be a little, you know, edgy. But, I mean, you know, I think he's doing all right now.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's always one of those. It's a guilty pleasure, too, if you see someone that you know is an edgy kind of guy and you see that they're remaking a movie. Like, yeah. That's what Halloween was to me. Like, I thought, you know what? This is Halloween and Rob Zombie's remaking it. It'll be cool just because he's remaking it. I mean, that'd be like if Quentin Tarantino was going to remake Halloween. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it would be cool because it'd be Quentin Tarantino remaking Halloween. You know, I wouldn't care about anything else. It's just like what this guy brings to the table kind of deal. And I just thought Rob Zombie was one of those guys that would bring something worthwhile to the table.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, like, it's people like him that make me want to see, like, the newer horror stuff. I don't want to see, like, you know, as you said, like, the PG horror remake crap. Like, at least he tried to make his a bit more brutal and...
Well, yeah, that's you know, well, one of the reasons I prefer
it's people
HBO
that aren't so generic.
To Hollywood.
Mm.
Well, the thing I don't like about Hollywood lately is... I don't think that I'm not a person that needs the blood, guts, and boobs. And I don't think it's I don't need it there because I have a sick sense of humor or these are things that I think need to make something work. I like the reality of it. I mean, that's what draws me in to a movie that, be it thriller, be it horror, be it comedy. I like when I look at something and I say to myself, that could be real. I mean, you know, within reason. I mean, like when we get to horror. But I mean, you know, I don't like it when, you know, you see someone, a monster comes out, or you see a dead body, and the guy is like, you know, something like, "Dag, well that sucks." You know, no one says shit like that. Mm. You see a monster, you're like, "Holy fuck balls! Let's get the fuck out of here." I mean, I don't like things that take away from reality. I love HBO. That's why I love Dexter, and I love Californication, and all that stuff. I mean,
yeah,
I like seeing.
Me too.
I like seeing stuff that is like it's. Yes, it's fiction, but it's what it's taking a real life way of what would if this happened in real life. That's kind of how it would be, pretty much. That's the biggest. That's why I'm really turned off with the PG-13
well,
stuff.
Well, they don't have the balls to do anything. Like these movies just don't have the balls. Like you can have a horror movie that doesn't have you know gore and. Blood and whatever, but it can still be scary and it can still have the balls to
exactly.
do things. But these ones are just so generic
like,
and stupid and who's like, what the fuck?
Well, it's
like,
just that
they just want to try
you
and
you can
get,
tell they're tap dancing around everything.
Well, they just
you know
want to
mean?
Try and get 14-year-old people in the seats and make money, and that's
no,
not
I
good
know,
enough.
Exactly.
I want substance.
It's all about money.
I want substance.
And then, you know, like I said, like I put in that other column, I mean. They dummy it down for PG-13 for the movies, and then they'll release an unrated version, and they might put in an extra minute or two, and they might put in a splash of blood here and there. And I mean, that's bullshit. I mean, it's an insult to fans, it's an insult to like to the genres, and it's an insult to just you know the whole movie business. Like I don't understand. Like I mean, yes, I know. People want to make money, but I mean, for fuck's sakes, a lot of the best movies I've ever seen came out of the 80s and 90s, and they didn't have $100 million budgets or $200 million budgets. You don't need this. So, I mean, don't give me that fucking horseshit of, oh, well, no, they have to do that because they've got to make the budget back. Well, you know what? Stop fucking focusing on special effects. Focus on story like people did in the old days. That's what people want.
The perfect example of a movie that didn't have a massive budget, it looked fucking amazing. And it definitely made everything back, and it actually had the balls to do something different, and that's what we talked about quickly earlier, was District 9.
Like, exactly.
It's $30 million. It looked like, you know, it was a $100 million budget.
Oh, I know.
And
I
it
mean,
made
what
money,
they,
like, seriously.
They made the money back. And what's funny is he wanted to make Halo. And nobody would invest in him because they thought that he was incompetent and it wouldn't work.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it's hilarious.
Fucking hell, everyone.
Exactly. Then he was like, "Fuck you guys, I'm not making Halo." But I mean, definitely, no, the guy definitely did well. But I mean, I miss like you know back in the day, like these great movies. Like look at Stand By Me for example, because we mentioned it earlier. I mean, it wouldn't have been a lot in that budget because there wasn't really a lot. But I mean, the story was so engrossing.
But,
it was so
yeah,
great.
Had...
The characters were like. a lot of things, like, I mean, I also feel like lately in movies, a lot of things don't happen. I mean, it's almost like everything's going in real time. It's like 2 hours of the characters' lives. But whereas you see the movies in the old days where things can take place over a long time and it just kind of builds.
Well,
you just don't have that feeling anymore.
But there's like, I mean, that movie's an example of proper character development. And
exactly.
It's got a really well-written story, and I think it is a very rare example of where the movie transcends the source material. And I think even Stephen King himself said that the movie was better than what he had written. And that's got to take a lot to say that, because it is a brilliant little, you know, short story. But
yeah,
the movie
it was
just,
great.
It took it to another level entirely. So,
well,
they don't do that
reminds me. It reminds me of one of the things Dean Koontz said to me, because when we were talking about that made-for-TV movie of Intensity, like I ended up getting it, and it was a tremendously great movie. And we were talking about it, and he's like, it was one of it was definitely the better of like see like some of my movies. He goes, I'll admit it. He goes, they didn't end up too good. He's like I enjoyed Phantoms. Like Phantoms was good, and you know, like there were some other ones, but he's like, yeah, most of them were kind of like shitty fucking B movies. And I'm like, and even he like you know even he would admit it. But I mean you know, and that's kind of what happens. But I mean, I just like I miss the old school. You know, people telling a story, and like you said, making compelling characters. They've got a good plot, and you know, things happen, and like the story progresses, and it goes up and it goes down, like on like atmospheric levels, on emotional levels. And I mean, just lately, you know, those things just kind of get swept under the carpet. You know what I mean? And people just try and focus on, oh, glittery lights over here, and I'll put this over there, and you know what I mean? And it just you combine that with the fact that. They have no fucking spine and no balls, and they're tiptoeing around trying to make a PG-13 fluff flick at the same time. I mean, fuck, that's just too many things that are negative, like without the payoff.
There are still good movies out there, but they're the kind of movies you have to really look for, because mainstream is sorely lacking.
Well, I just reviewed The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. And I missed it with the theaters. But you know what? I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And I mean, it was a solid action movie. It was rated R. It was like, it was, you know, I thought like there was swearing in it. There was like violence. I thought it was really well done. Like, and I was just kind of taken aback because I didn't expect it to be. I mean, yeah, sure, it's a remake from, but it was like from the 70s. But you know, it was actually very well done. And like you said, you really got to go out of your way to look for those, especially in the summertime. The summertime is like that glitz and glamour.
Yeah. I haven't seen that movie. I haven't seen the original, but on an earlier show...
Oh, I didn't see the original either.
On an earlier show, I didn't put it on there because I haven't seen it, but the who I was doing the show with, he put it as, like, his number 5 worst remake, so...
Really?
He wasn't a fan of that movie.
Guess not. I mean, I didn't think it was too bad. I mean, Tony Scott's done a lot of good movies, though, over the years.
I haven't liked his more recent stuff. I didn't really Man on Fire or Domino at all.
Domino was iffy. I really enjoyed Man on Fire, mostly because I liked
Denzel. I love Denzel, but I fucking hated that movie. I was
I'm
just sitting there
going,
fuck. Oh, man,
that
Book of
Eli.
Fuck, that looks amazing.
Badass.
I can't wait to see that.
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't like Denzel at first, I mean, until I watched Fallen. That was, and then when I watched Fallen, which is one of my favorite movies.
That's a little known gem of a movie.
It is. It's one of those ones that not a lot of people know about.
I haven't
seen
it.
And then when they see
it,
they're kind of weirded out that Denzel was played in it. But
yeah,
one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since it came out, actually. It's something else like, oh, maybe I should watch that again. Yeah.
Oh, man, I've probably watched that 100 times.
It's not easy to find. And it's got it's got a good cast, because it's got like
John Goodman.
Yeah, that's the one. I was thinking, oh shit, what's his name?
No, Donald Sutherland, isn't it? Too?
Yeah, Donald Sutherland. So it's not like it's got crap people in it. It's just one of those under the radar movies.
Well, that and it's a movie that deals with like you know, religious stuff like angels and God and shit like that. And I mean, and it, personally, I love movies like that. I love a good religious overtone. Like, not stupid, but a good, like, not like stupid, like, the whole thing works out and at the end, oh, he's an angel. Like, I hate shit like that. But I love a good religious overtone. I mean, Devil's Advocate, most people didn't like that movie. I fucking love that movie. I thought it was awesome.
That's all right. I'd never seen it until, I think, earlier this year.
Really?
Yeah, I'd gone on.
Al Pacino?
For like
I love listening all to that Al Pacino time. Yell at people.
Yeah, he's great in it. And I hadn't seen it. It's a very weird movie.
Oh, for sure, it's a weird movie. But I definitely... but that's the thing, though. I love a good religious... I mean, that night, like, did you see... what the hell? The Prophecy. That was another one of my favorites.
I don't think I saw that one, no.
Viggo Mortensen actually is in it. He plays the devil, which...
He plays
the cool devil. Like, oh, I mean, yeah. It's worth seeing it just to see Viggo Mortensen play the devil.
Oh, I'd watch him, like, fucking paint a wall for 2 hours.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to The Road. I mean, sure, your general post-apocalyptic kind of thing, but, I mean, I really like him.
Yeah, I'm looking
forward to
that as
well. I was very glad... when Lord of the Rings gave him another, like, did when Lord of the Rings did for him what Pulp Fiction did for Samuel Jackson and what's his name there?
John Travolta.
All of a sudden.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yes, John Travolta. Yes. I met him before. He's actually, he was an interesting guy. I met him when he was filming Battlefield Earth. In Montreal.
Oh, Battlefield Earth. He's like crowning jewel of a when movie.
When he was like that crazy Klingon guy. You know what? A lot of people cut that movie up too, but I didn't mind it.
Well, it's, you know...
Just because I think...
Everyone was
I
just like, it's
John
a Scientology
awesome
movie.
Villain.
Oh, I love him as the
well,
bad
I love...
guy.
Oh, man, he plays like...
One of my all-time awesome favorite movies, and a lot of people don't really like this movie all that much. They kind of think it's more trashy, but... Face Off, and he, like, when he
love
and
it.
Nicolas Cage swap sides. Fuck, I love him in that movie. When
you
he becomes
like,
the bad guy.
Face Off.
Yes.
Face Off, Broken Arrow,
yes.
Swordfish. It was, like, awesome in all of them. I feel kind of bad. Like, he looks pretty devastated over, like, the death of his son.
Well,
I don't know how much that's going to affect his career. But,
well,
I mean, I noticed that
right
he's
now.
In some... He's in some cheesetacular movie with Robin Williams about
oh,
kids.
Oh yeah, I saw that the other day and I was like, "Fuck, that looks so shit."
I know.
No,
thanks, like he's quickly becoming like just like kind of like Eddie Murphy and Adam Sandler. God rest their pathetic souls.
Definitely. Yeah.
I miss those guys. I grew up watching stuff like Delirious and Raw,
yeah.
And like, you know, Beverly Hills Cop,
yeah, yeah.
Like it just mortifies me to see
what's
become.
Yeah, especially like.
I mean,
just with the shit that
I remotely
lately.
Enjoyed. I know I remotely enjoyed Pluto Nash.
See,
it was watchable.
I haven't even watched these movies because I see them and it's just like, but I can't like.
I Spy was really good. I Spy was hilarious.
See, that was like off and on for me. I found it
and,
funny in
and
parts,
Showtime.
Other parts I didn't like. Yeah, I didn't really like that.
Like Showtime
either.
And I Spy were all right.
Gosh,
I really liked those.
If I told you the last Eddie Murphy movie I actually liked, it would have been many, many years ago. I gotta even yeah. Just like look it up because I just haven't even
been
bothered to watch him because everything just
that's
looks terrible.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel about Adam Sandler.
Yeah, same. Like, I just don't want to watch any of his movies unless it's an old one.
Like
seriously,
like,
I think maybe Shrek might have been the last thing I'd seen with Eddie Murphy, and that was his voice.
Ooh, yeah, so, that's not even really.
I mean,
really
to be
that.
Fair, I didn't see Dreamgirls, which I know that everyone said he was really good in. And,
yeah, I didn't watch that. Not in my cup of tea.
The other thing I didn't mind as a movie was Bowfinger with Steve Martin.
You know, I watched that, but I only saw it once, and I think I was drunk because I don't remember it at all.
I watched it, and I didn't mind it, and that's really like the last thing I thought he was okay, and everything else I haven't really watched him in. So, you know.
Well, it's kind of funny that you would have picked Bowfinger, because that was like during the time when... Like, shortly after that, that's when I Spy and that Showtime came out. And those two weren't too bad, but Bowfinger was okay.
But, I mean, that's like the last one I really remember. I mean, he did, I can't even remember. Like, that's how bad it is.
I just know he started doing, like, Dr. Doolittles and fucking gay-ass Disney shit, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's when I kind of stopped giving up.
You have to go back and just watch his stand-up and just remember the good days.
Well, I was so happy when I got the Delirious 25th anniversary. I got the DVD to review for the site, and I was so happy. I mean, I already had it. I had the movie, but it was just cool to. It's cool when you get a movie that's re-released, especially like that's the great thing about Blu-ray these days because a lot of Blu-ray movies are just coming out now. Mm. So like when you get an old ass movie that's really really good, and it's just fun reviewing them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's why I'm looking forward to that Rocky collection.
Oh, that's gonna be great. You're gonna have a great time.
I've been like singing "Eye of the Tiger" in my head for the last like 3-4 days. Every time I go to the mailbox, just waiting for it to be there.
If there's one set that I would recommend getting, that's if you're a fan of this particular genre, it would be the No Retreat, No Surrender anthology. It's like one.
They have it as an anthology.
It's an anthology, and I got it off eBay because I couldn't find it in the stores, and my friend who. Put me onto a lot of these movies who was one of my earlier co-hosts. He's like, he found it on eBay, sent me the link, he's like, you buy this right now. I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy it right now. Because I've been going on, I'm like, I don't own No Retreat, No Surrender. And it's like, I love this movie. I have to watch it all the time. And he's like, get the anthology. It's got King of the Kickboxers in there. You can't buy it.
King of the Kickboxers is in there too?
Yeah, it's No Retreat, No Surrender 4. So...
Oh, yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, I realized that like when I was looking up stuff... I saw they were calling it King of the Kickboxers 4. Why the fuck they think they can, like, why that...
Yeah,
how that
it doesn't make it any sense.
In, I don't know.
Yeah, but this set has 3 Lauren Avenen movies, and for that alone, it's worth getting.
Are they on DVD?
It is on DVD, and the first No Retreat, No Surrender, aside from Showgirls, is, like, my ultimate guilty pleasure movie. And it has Van Damme in it, but he's not in it very much, but...
I know.
Oh,
and
my
he
God.
Gets killed
like,
by that propeller. That was so stupid. I remember watching that when I was getting, like, when I was ready to get in him. When he gets killed by the fucking propeller, I'm like, what the fuck is that bullshit?
Wrong movie.
You tell me this guy's one of the deadliest fucking guys on the planet, and he gets killed by a boat
wrong
propeller?
Wrong movie. There's no boats in this movie.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm thinking Black Eagle.
Yes, you are, with...
He was the bad guy in that, wasn't he?
Yes, with... And Sho Kasugi was the good guy.
Yeah, Sho Kasugi was in that one. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Another
Oops,
great
my bad.
No Retreat, No Surrender is like the...
He just kicks his ass.
This movie starts off where these guys go into this guy's martial arts school and they want to buy him out.
Yeah,
and he says
martial
no.
school and then Von Damme is in, and he's in the
he's
doorway
in the white
and he kicks his
tuxedo
ass.
Thing. Oh, not tuxedo, the
yeah,
white suit.
I remember that.
And he makes the dad, the teacher of the martial arts school, cry, and it's like the greatest scene ever.
Do you know a movie, one of his, my favorite movies of his that... underrated, a lot of people don't like it, but Double Impact was always one of my favorites.
Oh, I love Double Impact.
Well, I just thought to myself, what's better than having one Van Damme? It's 2 Van Dammes kicking ass everywhere.
Yeah, but
I always loved
the
it.
Awesome thing is, right, he plays the 2 characters so well that you're convinced that they are really 2 different people.
Yeah, no, I thought it was very, very cool.
He
I mean,
has a tendency to play...
Bloodsport and Kickboxer like, are my 2 favorites of all time,
well,
like,
yeah.
No question. But, I mean, Double Impact was definitely the next of like his next
well,
string
yeah.
of movies.
They,
Double Impact was
they'd
definitely
be my favorites, and, like, obviously the recent one because it was awesome, but those ones there are fantastic. But
yeah, I didn't care for Stallone's Rambo, the newest one that came out. I like the newest Rocky, and
I liked Rocky
Rambo.
More.
Oh, for sure. And it was weird because I thought that I was gonna like Rambo more and not really care for Rocky. Rocky 5 was garbage. Like, I'm actually repeating things that I'm gonna put in the review here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't care for Rocky 5 at all. I mean, seriously, we got to show Rocky like as a fucking bum losing everything. I mean, come on. They could have skipped over Rocky 5 and then just put go to Rocky Balboa.
Mm.
But yeah, it was weird because the opposite happened. I really loved Rocky and just didn't really care for Rambo.
It was kind of a hit and miss because some people are gonna love that kind of thing. Other people are not gonna really like it. But I mean, I liked it. I didn't love it. But I thought, you
What
know,
do you think of the new Boondock Saints? How do you think that looks?
I haven't even watched the trailer.
Oh man, you should watch it because what's his name? One of the main guys. His face looks really fucked up. It doesn't even look like him. I mean, the last time I saw him in something, he was in an episode of Masters of Horror second season. He looked fine there, but he looks really weird in the trailer. I can't really describe it. You got to really see it. His face looks like it's plastic.
I loved the Boondock Saints.
Love the first one for sure.
I just didn't feel the need for a sequel, so it's not like something I've been.
That's right. Well, it's
about.
One of those movies. It's like Lost Boys. It's like one of those movies where they're making a sequel, and part of you says, "I love the first one so much, it might be cool," but then the other part of you says, the more dominant part says, "They didn't need to make a sequel, and they're kind of pushing it, and it's gonna feel like a forced situation."
Mm.
Like I hate it when there's a movie, and the story was great, everything was great, everything worked. But then later on, they want to make some more money off it, so they force a sequel. Mm. But like I said, but that, the story is just so garbage. Like that's why Lost Boys 2, it could have been okay. But what pissed me off so much was like, it was a complete fucking utter retelling of the first story. Complete, and I'm not even like, and they even had some of the same scenes. They used some of the same dialogue. Corey Feldman's character said some of the exact same fucking dialogue that happened in the exact same scenario with Sam in the first one. Like, oh my god! And then like at the very end, they try and throw some clever little thing in there, which didn't work. I'm not ruining it for you, but it didn't work. And yeah. I'm just like thinking, wow, guys, you guys bitched and moaned about this for like fucking years, saying, oh, this was like in the trenches for so long, and it took us so long, but it's perfect now. It wasn't perfect. It was a piece of shit.
Mm.
And it just shouldn't have got made in the first one. Now I heard they're actually making a third one.
Yeah, I know. It's pathetic. I skipped it because I was just like, no, fuck this. I'm not watching this crap. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I get a weakness for vampire movies. I mean,
well, yeah, but,
I had to watch it just for that sake.
But you know what the funny thing is? Like, I was just thinking about it, like, not that long ago, and I was like, you know, there's some things that don't really need sequels, and some things do, but there's specific genres that will just make them no matter what, and that was, like, action movies, martial arts movies, and horror movies,
yes,
and sometimes
and so
it works.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and I was actually, because this is what had me thinking, was I finally sat down to watch American Ninja, and I hadn't seen it before, and then somehow this spawned off, like, five sequels. I haven't seen the fifth one.
You know what?
And
I loved,
like,
American Ninja. I loved American Ninja 2, the confrontation.
Yeah.
And after that, they just kind of got a little cheesy. I watched them all.
I liked them all, but they were just so dumb. Like, they were all dumb. It's like,
but I love the first two.
What the hell is up? The ninjas are always there, and they're like, the more the movies went on, the dumber the ninjas got. And I was just like,
I mean,
as fun as it is, you know, it's like, as fun as it is, like, you can see why they wanted to just keep making them, because they're that much fun. And that's silly.
I think it's hilarious that we're coming back into a ninja age. There's like all these ninja movies that are coming out lately.
They're not
going to
be
the same.
But
until I see ninjas with guns, then I'm like, I see ninjas with machine guns, and I'm like, what the fuck?
It's not
it'll never be the same.
It's still fun. Like, my favorite.
Well, do you know what horror movie?
Like, I was going to say, the best ninja ever was Shokosuke, and no one's going to beat him.
Sure he was. Well, he's actually in one of these ninja movies that's coming out. He plays it. Yeah, he plays someone
like,
in it.
That's like the only reason I want to see that movie, mainly.
I know. I just want to see him in a ninja movie.
I just
want to
see
like,
him.
So many years later. Well, the only horror movie that I've ever really wanted a sequel for and that I never ever got was Nightbreed. Do you remember how that ended? Do you remember? You've seen Nightbreed, I hope.
I haven't seen that. Oh, I'm thinking I haven't seen it.
What?
Because it's not ringing a
bell,
actually.
Oh, no!
Don't kill
me. You've got to go watch that. That movie's so good.
Why do I do these things? Because then I end up with more movies to watch.
Oh, it's not a bad thing in this
oh,
case.
Oh, no.
Even
then
I've
got to go track them down.
I watched it not that long ago. It's definitely... It's kind of like...
I know what movie you're talking about, but I'm not sure if I've seen it.
Yeah, where
they
a dude
had, like,
dies
David
and, like,
Cronenberg in it, right?
Yeah, David Cronenberg is the bad guy in it.
Shit,
and then
man,
like
I'm
the
not
way
sure,
it ends, like, it
should
have made a really fucking. They should have made a sequel, but they never ever did. And it surprises me because they've made a sequel of everything else, but they've never given me a Nightbreed sequel all these years. And now that it's, I mean, I want to say don't never say never, but I mean, it's come so far they probably wouldn't do it now.
Mm.
But then again, I mean, they're going back and remaking some of my other favorites. Like they're remaking Fright Night, and that makes my dick hurt. Okay, I love Fright Night. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
But
and I can't imagine anyone remaking it and it being good.
Well, vampires are the in thing. So nothing
is
safe.
Yeah, well, that and zombies and werewolves.
I'm so happy that the Near Dark remake just went down the toilet.
Yeah, for now.
If they ever bring it back, like, I'm just going to like...
The Crow remake went down the toilet for a while, too. And now that's back on track, too. Because I was so mad when they said they were remaking The Crow, and then it got trashed, and now it's back on track again. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, well, the Old Boy remake has got trashed. We'll see how long that'll last. Yeah.
I just I don't get all these remakes. Like, is there really... Like, you know, for all the people... All the times I hear about writers and this and that... Is there really no one left to write new stuff? Like, are you trying to sell me on the fact that there's no creativity left in Hollywood these days that we can't create new movies, that we have to remake everything that was ever fucking made?
It's like, either like that,
I find that to be a hard sell.
It's crap. It's either the remakes or just crap. And then somewhere in between, something good will come out.
I don't mind the fact that a lot of movies are based on books these days. I mean, not being a writer, right? So I'm kind of glad. I hope it stays that way.
Mm.
But even still, I mean, that's the other side of it. I mean, there's so many great books out there. If you're gonna fuck remakes, go for more books. Like, why the fuck do you have to remake movies? There's so
good,
many great material out there.
Good, well-written books. Because there's certain movies coming out, and I think the books are just terrible. And it makes me angry that someone who does not have that much talent is getting all this attention, while other people who have so much talent are just getting unnoticed.
Well, that's what pisses me off about the fantasy genre. Because, I mean, there are a lot of great... Like, when Lord of the Rings came out, it put the bar up really high. But, I mean, there are a lot of other fantasy
authors
that have good stories.
They don't know how to make them, because a lot of the movies just end up not being all that good.
Yeah, I still remember when Dungeons & Dragons came out, me and the boys went to see it so pumped up, and
it was
such a piece of shit on a stick. I couldn't...
Yeah.
We come out of the theater, and we're so mad, and I'm like, wow, did that really just happen? And, like, no wonder Hollywood doesn't take this genre seriously, because for every good movie they make, there are 10 really fucking shitty ones, and then, you know, the people just want to stop, they just don't want to spend money on it anymore.
Yeah. That's just the unfortunate thing these days. Well...
But hey, instead, let's go remake something else.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go remake a really shit movie and make it good. Maybe they could try doing that for a change.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
You know, there's an upcoming Plan 9 from Outer Space remake.
What
Plan 9 from Outer Space? They've remade it. Some small little movie thing has remade it. Like, it was universally known as the worst movie ever.
Did you like the remake and that one with Keanu Reeves, where the aliens came and, like, the world was ending and whatever?
On my previous episode of my podcast, which was about remakes, the worst remakes, that was my number one worst remake ever.
Was it?
Yes.
Well, I know that my dad really loves the first one, and I've never seen it, but I think he was watching it once when I went over to his house. And I saw a piece of it, because I think I saw, like, the robot guy there.
Mm-hmm.
But he said the first one was really, really good. And, like, even these days, even though it's black and white, he said it was very, very well done. But since I didn't see the first one, and anything, if I don't see the first one, I can go into it with an open mind.
But the thing is, that movie was made, I think, in 1951, and it still holds up just as well today as it did back then. And it's something that I think was ahead of its time back then. And when they went and remade it, it was just a shit in the face to this movie, and it's a shit in the face to people watching it. I have never...
No, I can tell you one scene. One scene sums it all up. Keanu Reeves and some alien dude are sitting in McDonald's discussing the fate of the world.
But see,
in McDonald's.
Yeah. The thing is, right? If I go pay to see a movie in the theater, I'm going to sit through the whole thing. I'm not going to walk out. I was so tempted to walk out of this and just ask for a refund. I was so pissed off. I hated it so much. And I was on my phone writing a blog about how shit it was because I fucking hated it so much. And I'm like, fuck, this movie is... I mean, this year has been so shit for movies. I was like, I fucking wanted to kill and walk out of Eagle Eye and now this and blah, 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 blah.
I can't stand Jaden Smith either.
Oh, Will Smith, keep your kid out of movies. And speaking of which...
You know, the kid's in movies simply because of his parents.
Well,
but,
the thing is,
come on.
We're going to have to endure him in this bullshit Karate Kid remake, which makes no sense.
Oh, God, that burns my ass so bad. I mentioned it in one of my... I found that stupid poster online, and so I put it in that Come on Hollywood, but that makes me so mad.
Fuck. Fuck me, Dad.
It's not... Karate Kid's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mine too.
I watch that movie probably once a year.
I watch it more than once a year. I even watch the fourth one.
Remember how we were talking about those songs?
Yeah.
That's like the best 80s song ever.
Well, that has the best songs ever, yeah.
Well, my adrenaline just starts pumping at the end when they're at the tournament and that song goes on. I'm like, yeah! I'm like sitting there like getting right into it and going crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because like when I bought him on DVD, my girlfriend had never seen them before. Oh. And I was like, what? So I'm like, well, looks like I know how we're spending the next 3 or 4 hours. So we went back and we watched them all back to back, and well, I watched the first two back to back. I wasn't gonna put her through the pain of like 3 and 4.
I know people don't like the third one, but I like it, and you know why? Because I like Thomas Ian Griffith, and he's so fucking awesome as the bad guy.
Well, I didn't mind the third one per se.
Fucking cracks me up, man.
But I didn't watch the one with with Hilary Swank.
Do you know what I love about
that? I had to draw the line.
Do you know what I love about that? Seriously, it's Michael Ironside is the bad guy.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, see, I've never seen it. Like when I saw that, and I was like, even like I didn't know who Hilary Swank was, but I mean, which makes it funnier now when you look back on it. But I was like, okay, Mr. Miller, he's training a chick now. Nothing against women, but I just thought, okay, don't go from Daniel to some retard chick off the street.
Well, the whole thing just didn't work, but Michael Ironside is like the bad guy.
Michael Ironside.
Of all people, and you get Michael Ironside.
Were you guys talking about him in the last podcast?
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I know he's the bad guy in that movie, so...
I can just think of... All I can think of is Total Recall.
I was going to watch that again, actually.
Total Recall was so good. I've got it on Blu-ray. I couldn't help myself. I had to buy it.
I love that movie.
But... yeah. But... And what pissed me off is he was actually... He had a really small role in... fuck. What was that called? That recent one.
What, Terminator?
No.
Well, he was in that.
Yeah, he had a small role in that, too.
I'm watching it, I was like, Michael Ironside's in it!
Oh, fuck, what was it?
I don't know, if you don't tell me what it is.
Is it Transition... This stupid one, not the dude that directed Seven, but is it his daughter, or whatever?
Do you mean,
Jennifer...
Do you mean, David Lynch's daughter?
Yes,
Jennifer Lynch.
Her last movie that Jennifer Lynch. Her last movie that came out there. I keep forgetting the name
of it.
Is it
Surveillance or something else?
Yes, Surveillance. Yeah. Michael Ironside was in that. Like he had a small role.
I haven't
in that
seen
too.
It yet.
I reviewed it on my site. Mm. It's
You weren't a big fan, obviously.
Well, it's just that you can figure it out from the goddamn trailer, and I mean,
okay.
I'm sorry, but when you can watch the trailer and piece everything together, I mean, don't get me wrong, I mean, I love psychological thrillers, so maybe I'm being biased because I know what I can kind of know what to look for, but I mean, even still, I shouldn't be able to watch a trailer and figure out who the killer is and what's like. I mean, I didn't know everything about the story, but when I can look at the trailer and know who the killer is, even though he's wearing a mask, that's pretty fucking gay. Mm.
Too smart for your own good, but so am I.
And that's the thing. I mean, you go in, like, I go in and I try and figure these things. I try not to try, but I mean, you know, you get surprised every now and again. Like, the first Scream, I can remember my surprise. I remember the first Scream, was a big surprise. Oh my god, two serial killers.
Yeah, but I had a feeling that it was someone, but I didn't know there was going to be two, and then when it was one of the ones that you think, but not someone else, yeah. That was
exactly.
Cool.
You think it's one. Like, you don't think there's two. Mm-hmm. And that was cool. And I remember, you know, you watched The Sixth Sense, and you know what?
Well,
I didn't see that coming a mile away.
I saw that coming.
No, you didn't.
I
really?
I did, yeah. And when it was revealed, it wasn't this massive twist for me, because I was like, oh, I was right.
Well, it was for me, because I didn't pick up on it. I wasn't looking, but I went into that movie with mixed feelings.
I was, like, thinking about it as I was watching it, and I'm like, but that doesn't make sense. And then I'm like, well, maybe this is why that doesn't make sense. And then when it's revealed, I'm like, okay, I was right. But
I remember what you said. You were bitching about The Village, and, like, yeah, the first half of that movie was really good, but the second half
was
garbage.
That was stupid, yeah. That,
I was pretty mad.
But, yeah.
I was pretty mad about that.
I a lot of the times I can actually figure out what a twist is going to be or who the killer is going to be, and that
well,
kind of spoils
is, you're
it
looking
a little
for
bit
these
because.
Days, right?
But it's just things I can pick up on things quite easily now. But,
yeah,
you know, it's good when something is genuinely a surprise, and I won't see it coming.
It doesn't happen rare. It's only rare, but
yeah.
I remember another really good surprise was Frailty.
Oh, yeah, see, that was something I didn't really, you know, I wasn't sure about, but as it led on, with it, you kind of pick up on things, but, you know.
If you've watched Seven.
But when the final reveal comes, it's also fantastic, and it's something, you know, obviously I talked about it as a good, you know, what the fuck kind of moment in the last podcast.
Well, that's another hidden gem that a lot of people don't really know about. I mean, it was definitely really well done.
Yeah, brilliant movie. Definitely one of my favorites, easily.
You know what? I'm going to have to tell you this because, unfortunately, I could talk all night long.
Well, I can keep talking, but I actually have to go
somewhere.
Seeing
as how you're on the other side of the world.
Yeah, I actually
have to. Yeah, I suppose your day is just starting, and my day is like 2 a.m. here.
Yeah,
but, like,
I actually
what time
have
is
to be going
there?
Out. So, evening, but I have to be going out. I have a train to catch. But
well, I'll tell you, it was a fun podcast. Glad to be here.
Awesome, and we can definitely do it again whenever you like.
Yes, now that we have it all figured out.
Yeah, but because of how long this is, it's going to be up in two parts. And I think, you know, the listening public, I'm sure, is going to love listening to us. So,
what'd we clock in at?
We're over 2.5 hours.
Nice.
And we've got a lot of really good stuff, so I think it's only fair we just break it up into two parts.
Hey, you know what? You're the boss.
I am the boss.
I can't wait to listen to it and see how weird I sound to my own voice.
You sound fine. I'm used to my voice now. When I first started doing this, I hated my voice, but now I'm just like, I'm used to it.
Like I said, I've left phone messages and heard it that way, but I've actually never heard myself over a prolonged period of time talking, so it'll be interesting.
Well, you know, maybe you can use this to try and get your voice out there on other things, if you sound good enough.
Hey, you know what? I got a face that wasn't just made for radio, so you never know. maybe this might get me invited to the special podcast that Joe Blow and Arrow have that seem like their own thing. I mean, Jim and Murado, it seems like they've got like a secret treehouse meeting that it's like it's just them, and every now and again Verge will be on it or something, but it's like it's their thing and like no one ever goes on
it's
it.
It's hilarious to listen to every week.
Oh no, those guys, they crack me up, like I said. I mean, I got a lot of respect for all of them because like to be consecutively funny, everybody makes it, we make it look easy. It's not as easy as it looks, but I mean, yeah. It's definitely like, and they're all characters. Like, it's definitely it's definitely a cool place to work. But on that note, I'll let you catch your train, and until the next time.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll try and do it again soon, and we'll see if we can organize someone else to join us or something like that. I've only ever managed to get one person on at a time, so maybe I can get somebody else and have a threesome.
Hey, threesomes work. They definitely work.
Or an orgy. We'll work it out.
Hey, exactly. We'll see what happens.
Okay, well, thanks again.
All right, you have a good night.
You have a good
sleep.
No
problem.
Bye.
See ya.